for the fourth week of the month, August 26th. Saeed, can I ask for a roll call vote, please?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Yes. Thank you. And Karen, can I ask you to lead us in a flag salute?
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Darn, we're getting better at that. Does anybody have any agenda items that need to be looked at or reviewed or changed around?
President Lucy, I do have a couple of clarifications on public comment, as well as business item number 9B, which is the June 30, 2015 budget review and adoption of the final 2015-16 budget should really be moved down to hearing items under agenda item 10. So that will slightly modify our order of items today. Secondly, is that we've worked on some modifications on public comment. For the special presentation items, there needs to be public item on each of them individually, both 5A and 5B. Then reports, both staff reports as well as board of directors and outside committee reports, as well as consent agenda comments, will be taken under item number 7. But item number 9, in implementing these changes, I forgot to delete the first sentence under public comment where it says on special presentations reports and the remainder of that sentence. So that's now no longer applicable because that's going to be, those public comments will be taken up under item number 7. So again, public comment on individual items 5A, 5B, moving 9B down to a hearing item of 10A. And with that leaving 9A and 9C, the only business items, I'd recommend public comment on those individually as well.
All right, very good. Thank you. Saeed, did you get all that?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's in 5 years, it'll be the 100th anniversary. But in any case,
right.
I want to make sure to acknowledge that important event in our history. And with that, Tony, can you help with the lights a little bit? Thank you.
And we want to thank you for coming tonight. We really do appreciate it and enjoy hearing from the league.
It's our pleasure to be here. I appreciate that introduction because I was going to mention that the league is 95 years old, and it grew out of the right to vote movement that women had, and those suffragists just channeled their energies into the league, many of them, and founded the original League of Women Voters. Our local league is 53 years old, and it was founded by Cal Poly women whose husbands worked there, and they had children, and they were non-working outside the home mothers, which was 1961, pretty typical. And they wanted to do something very interesting, and it is a very interesting thing that we do. We do not oppose or support candidates or political parties. We remain neutral. But we do study issues and act on them and advocate for those issues. And about a year ago, we undertook a study and ended up changing our position on government by adding a phrase about civil discourse. And why did we do that? Because over 60% of the American people believe there is a major problem with civility in the United States. Our motto is making democracy work. And we believe that if there is incivility, it creates a climate that is very discouraging to the public. And they withdraw from participation. Maybe they don't vote. Maybe they tune out of government. Our mission as the League of Women Voters is to encourage the informed and active participation of citizens in government. So anything that interferes with us is a matter of vital concern to us. So we plan to, through education and advocacy action, to implement as much civil discourse as we can in the county of San Luis Obispo. working with elected officials, their staff, and the citizens so that we can come to better public policy decisions and processes. So what is civil discourse, and how is the League going to do anything to affect that in the county and in Oceano, for instance? I'm going to turn this over to the architect of our study and our first vice president and director of civil discourse, Sharon Kimball.
Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you very much. I am Sharon, and what I first learned, I was very enthusiastic at our program planning meeting when so many people said, you know, let's study civil discourse, and I thought, I'd love to be involved in that. To be an advocate at with the League of Women Voters, you have to have a position, and we didn't have a position on civil discourse, so you have to do a study. And that means not just going out to the library and looking up. And each of us that participated in the study, we had challenges every week, and we said, oh, that's another test of civil discourse. And, you know, all of us can have our buttons pushed. We have different buttons that can be pushed, and we found that when you're the chair of civil discourse, you really are reluctant to do anything that's ever uncivil, no matter how hard your buttons might be pushed. So I've learned a lot. This first slide, we were asked in May, in the state of California, there are 70 local leagues, more league chapters than in any other state, and we all got together in San Diego, and we weren't the only league that was concerned about civil discourse in the government arena and with citizens. So they had a series of workshops. We were invited to do it, and we did one, and our title was How to Find Common Ground in San Luis Obispo County. And as President Marguerite said, why civil discourse? Well, we believe that not only does civil discourse make democracy work better, but we think it increases civic engagement, and it helps us to find common ground on critical issues. And you know how many critical issues we have, water being number one. And we first started studying this after the last presidential election, and we have another one coming up, and we were all very discouraged about the inability for people to reach across the aisle and work together in spite of differing opinions and differing parties. And we really want people to work together, and we need as many people with opinions to do that, to have good public policy. So what we did in our year-long discussions, we reached out to all of the people in our county government, the mayors, city council, things that you agree with in the past. But if you really listen with an open heart and an open mind, you might find that that person has some things that you think, aha, now that's a good idea. That might be helpful. So in real estate, you may know that the three things that are most important that they say is location, location, location. Well, in leadership, in the government bodies, we found whether you're the general manager, you're the president, or the chair, leadership, leadership, leadership is really key. And even though you may not be in a leadership position, you can, as a member of a group, take the lead to set the example with civil discourse and help set the tone if the person in charge isn't doing that themselves. Then we came up with a top 10 list of best practices, and this was a result of listening carefully to all of the elected bodies and officials and all of the citizens and the members of the League. And first of all, again, it was show respect. Respect not only with the content of what you say, but your tone of your voice, your body language. A lot of us have things that we do that we don't realize we do that indicates how we're feeling, either negative or in a positive way. So you need to kind of be self-aware of those things when people are speaking in public comment time or when you're together. We're not here. We value the First Amendment, and we value the Brown Act, and we want people to speak, and we want people to be engaged, which is why we work hard with our voter services and our candidate forums. So we want spirited debate, but we'd like people to really focus on facts and evidence, because that really is what helps move the process forward. Provide adequate time for public comment. listen actively, thank speakers where appropriately, and acknowledge public input and your appreciation for that. And most of all, speak truthfully without distortion. And the next ones are try to refrain from commenting on the motivation of a speaker, because how can we really know that anyway? Promote discussion on the merits of the issue. Remind participants about rules of conduct. We full speech and discourage potentially slanderous, profane, or personal remarks. And I always say that if you want your message to be heard, even though you're passionate and it's okay, and we get upset, it's okay to be upset because things happen and we have a right to be upset over. But when you need to try and figure out that when you're going up to talk about something that has you're passionate about and you're upset about, try to frame it in a way so the message is going to be heard. Because if you frame it and you get overly emotional and overly upset, organized and staying on message. And today I want to thank you because I know that I sent you a copy of our resolution, and we're hoping that you will all adopt that today and pledge to do the things that are in the resolution. And this briefly, because I don't want to take a lot of time since you're going to be doing that, these were the things also that we felt were important, and we tried to incorporate them in a resolution so that would be a reminder of people and not only existing but newly appointed and elected people that they can use to promote civil discourse. Again, respect the right of all people to hold different opinions. Avoid rhetoric intended to humiliate, malign, or question the motivation of people whose opinions are different from yours. Try to understand where they occur. So why does civil discourse matter? Again, we feel that civil discourse promotes informed discussion of public issues. And when you set that tone, people feel more comfortable. And it helps bodies to make better decisions when you get more people engaged. We feel that citizens and elected officials have a right to express their free speech. That's the beauty of living in this wonderful country that's by the people and for the people. But we want to provide an environment that makes everyone feel safe and respected. Now, I can't force or make anyone to be civil or to follow the best practices of civil discourse. It's really a self-assessment kind of thing. I can encourage people, just like with my kids and my grandkids, to do that. So it's really kind of a self-assessment kind of thing. And I can tell you that having chaired this and having spoken to people, that it has made me, I think, I thought I was a really good person. But, you know, I found that I could be even better the more I learned about how to frame ideas, to think. I did a collaboration workshop that talked about the circle of silence, and sometimes it's good to have 1 minute before you start a contentious topic for everybody to think, clear their mind. And then the thing about public comment time is how many times do we have 1, 2, or 3 minutes of uninterrupted time to speak in your life? Not too much. And you can accomplish a lot in that time. So what are we going to do as we go out to different government bodies in the community? These are our goals. We have an observer corps, and if you want us to come to a particular meeting, we also have an ambassador corps. The observer corps goes, they don't speak, they just observe and have a presence to say, hey, we're here to support you, and we're here to kind of remind people about being civil and using civil discourse. But we also have an ambassador corps, and we have scripts for those people where we're not going to be the civil discourse police. I know there's been rumors about that. We aren't. We don't want to be that. We want to encourage the positive side. We're not calling people out. We're not calling names. That would be uncivil. But we do have an ambassador corps that will get up during public comment, and if you think you really need our presence at a particular meeting, we will come with those people, and they'll get up during public comment and kind of remind people that we have important issues to discuss, and we hope they will frame them and stick to the facts and do it in a civil way. We are working. How many people have heard of the National Institute for Civil Discourse? Anyone? It's connected with the University of Arizona. It was founded by former President Bush Sr. and former President Clinton, and it actually was part of Project Arizona after Gabby Gifford was shot and that young 9-year-old went to learn about government and was killed. They formed this organization. And Ted Celeste and I have been in conversation. He goes from state to state. He's based out of Columbus, Ohio. And he works with legislators in every state, and he has workshops to train them on how to reach across the aisle, even though they're in different parties, and try to come to some kind of a conclusion, a good conclusion, that'll help all of us with these serious problems that we have. We're working with him on possibly doing a 2 half-day civil discourse training workshops for elected officials. So I'm going to be sending out a questionnaire to see how many might be interested in that, and if so, then we're going to be doing that. We are thinking about a parliamentary procedures workshop for people who want to be involved with that. We're going to continue to go out and talk about civil discourse and present resolutions, have a speakers bureau, and we have brochures and buttons that we're going to be presenting to you today, and we're going to be working with local educators about the possibility of having a civil discourse curriculum. So I really appreciate your having us here, and I appreciate all that you do, because when I did this, I was just amazed at everything that's on your plate and all the things you have to do. And as you all know, it's not the job itself and the duties of the job. The challenge is always working with different people and knowing how to do that in an effective way and in a way that really brings out the best in everybody, and that's what we want to do. So thank you, and I sure hope you will adopt our resolution today.
Thank you. That was really wonderful. Thank you. On that note, we'll take public comment on special presentation at this time, and then we'll go back and look at the resolution for the board. Is that all right? Okay. Good evening, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Ms. Lucy. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I attended the League's presentation at the Board of Supervisors recently. It was a little more broad, but quite similar in content. I would like to congratulate the League on 95 years. And the presentation here was very nice, but I have to make some comments with regard to the president. Ms. Lucy, you've read the resolution, perhaps? Because you're being asked to sign it as president of this district. And it's curious because you routinely fly off the handle. And in fact, the best practices, I don't think you follow any of those. You have a zero on that. You criticize people with different opinions routinely. You're great at rhetoric, and you consistently speak authoritatively about things you know very little about. I'll give you one quick example. You marginalize other board members when they don't agree with you or have differing opinions. And you constantly slander, berate, and disrespect members of the public. That's routine for you. So, it's really odd that the League has presented these best practices. You're being asked to sign the resolution. I find it almost laughable, frankly. Your presence at the Sand District is toxic, and I would recommend that your board take action relative to your behavior. And I think there are sanctions that this board could consider to limit or terminate your participation in committee assignments. I think automatically you ought to be removed from the Sand District. That's a given. And if you don't, or this board doesn't, take action to limit your activities or your behavior, then maybe others will. So,
you guys kind of hide out. It took me a while to find this place. Front door was locked. I don't know what that says. Had to find the back door. So, I'm not going to point fingers. That's not helpful. I would just say that as an alternate for the Sand District, I've observed behavior that's dysfunctional, and any JPA that we're involved with, and we're involved with a few, not just the Sand District, is an area where we all need to figure out how to work together. If we don't, JPAs are a failure. It's not just this one. The fire authorities is the next one on the block that's going to come up for issue. because of the dysfunction of the JPAs in front of us. So I, as an alternate member of the Sand District, a city council member, can tell you that civil discourse is it's a nice rhetoric, it's a nice discussion, but the reality comes with your actions, not your words. So the question is, are you as a body going to be civil in your actions with the other? You may have differences of opinion, but we need to work together. Otherwise, JPAs don't work. This Sand District's not the only one. The next one that's coming up is the Fire District, and I'm telling you, that's a fire that's going to burn. So I would respectfully ask you to be introspective, to be respectful of each other's opinion, but rethink how you've gone forward or how you go forward in the future based on how you've gone in the past. Mr. Ogren has been nothing but confrontational, and this body has supported his opinion. And while that might, it's okay to have differences of opinion, it is not a function of working together. I understand that Oceano has money issues, that's pretty obvious, but you still need to be equitable and fair. So I'm hoping that you rethink how you act with the other jurisdictions, because based on what I've seen, I cannot support the actions of this body that have previously been done. And so I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just asking you to rethink how you think things. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Ms. Welsh.
Good evening, Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I'm a little confused by the agenda, so please forgive me, but I want to talk on your budget. Is this the time for me to do that or not?
No, I'm pretty sure that you'd speak to that under...
That's in the hearing item 10.
Okay. It's 9B, and we're going to change it to 10A, so we can hold it as a hearing.
Okay, then my only comment is that I am from Arroyo Grande, as you know, and I'm used to how they run their meetings. This does get a little confusing to me, so it might be something to look at, but that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
After we have the
motion. Have you?
Second.
We can do it that way.
Go ahead. You want to discuss?
I'll pass to defer to the rest of the board here.
Lori, Jen, do you guys want to speak to the resolution or anything?
No.
I do.
She's warming up.
I would just say that I do support the resolution and the...
Now, I think it'll make us a stronger organization as a whole. And it doesn't hurt to be reminded of some of the basic principles as to making things function. So thank you very, very much. On that note, I'll entertain a motion for a resolution.
I so move.
Would you like to read it?
Pass a resolution of the Community Services District of Oceano, California, pledging to follow best practices of civility and civil discourse in all of its meetings.
I'll second
that. Includes...
Sorry, I wasn't sure if you're continuing.
Please. Speaking out against violence, prejudice, and incivility, and speaking truthfully, choosing words carefully, and trying to be extremely respectful.
Great. And then we have your county guide that is in the lobby, and I'm sure it's in the lobby of the other entities
Bumble.
That
Thank you so much.
Have had... as well as stickers, and I'm sure there's a few buttons around. And
thank you.
And great graphics. So
I feel like Clint Weirich. I have a button on. So.
Okay. And on that note, 5B, we're going to change that into...
No.
We're having a presentation.
Oh, we're doing a presentation. Sorry. Mr. Ogren.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board. I wanted to, as part of a presentation item, cover an item really quickly that the state of California is doing. It's not an Oceano program. We don't have rebate programs right now, like some of the other local agencies do. But last week, the state rolled out their rebate program, which really has two different components to it. One is to it's the turf replacement program, and the second one is a toilet rebate program. And both programs essentially are first come, first serve. And last week I listened to a webinar. This is the presentation that was provided. I'm going to go through it relatively quickly and give an overview, but predominantly it's just like some cities provide a dollar per square foot, so the state would only add a dollar. And it's only for future. If you've already done your turf replacement, then you're not going to be eligible. This slide shows the website. It's called SaveOurWaterRebates.com. So that's the website then that links into the state system. And they're a little bit hard to see here, but there's a button here on the left that gets into the turf replacement program, and then the button here on the right is the one that gets into the toilet rebate program. In the website, they talk about the overall program, what types of terms and conditions in order to be eligible for it. They've got frequently asked questions and how you go through the application process. And it's important to get your application process to go through there and make sure that you're approved before you actually go through and do your turf replacement. Some of the specific programs have tree guidelines and what type of landscaping you need to use in order to replace your turf. They're intended this to be, this slide just speaks to the frequently asked questions and trying to, their effort to be pretty user-friendly at this particular program. Some of the rules then that apply, as I mentioned earlier, it's only prospectively, but your grass could actually be dead right now and you can still get it replaced. It just has to be there. So whether it's living or dead at the time of application isn't relevant, but bare earth doesn't count. So you have to have some sides of turf. It doesn't matter how you remove it. There's the 20 plants must cover approximately 25% of the project area at maturity of what you put in. And then they talk about the trees and some of the other requirements. Then they move into the issue of what if you're replacing it with like hard, even in the hardscape areas, you have to make sure that you have permeable hardscape, no concrete, no impermeable grouting is allowed. And you've got 120 days to get the job done. This then it speaks to what an Oceano would be eligible for the entire $2 per square foot. This is part of the rules on the application. Certified contractors may also submit on behalf of the property owners. So individuals who are looking, again, to have contractors do the work can have the contractor work through the approval process as well. And some of the contractor licensing requirements are included, the need for a Form W-9, all the bureaucratic stuff. But it's pretty extensive, the information that somebody can find if they're interested in the program and they go to the website. Again, I'll repeat it. It's our SaveOurWaterRebates.com. Then it talks a little bit after enrollment and after approval and then what individuals have to do in order to get the reimbursement for their costs or their $2 per square foot. And they promote it as being an easy application process. This slide really didn't get into the toilet rebate program, but what that works out as is it's just one toilet per household is what they'll rebate, and I believe it's $100 per toilet that you have. It's a self-certification process for the toilet program. But again, it's an online rebate application, and you have the ability to watch how your application is in process. And this gets into, again, some of the details on that actual application process, which I don't want to go into too much detail, but in conclusion, SaveOurWaterRebates.com, and I'd be glad to answer questions. Again, I wanted just to do a real quick overview to make sure that we start getting the word out to everybody in Oceano that the state has a rebate program that they can apply and get funds for.
Madam President, one thing I wanted to point out to Oceanans is a rebated portion of the converted landscape may be used for food-producing trees, shrubs, vines, and perennials. I can see a lot of asparagus, artichoke, herbs, blackberries, raspberries, blueberries, apple trees. There could be an awful lot. I mean, the money could go to really making yourself a great front yard garden. Used to be you had to have green grass in your front yard, and now you could put in a producing garden with all kinds of perennials. I mean, there's all kinds of other things I could think of, too. Anyway, I just wanted to mention
yes.
that.
Yes, and with Oceano's historical ties in with agriculture, I think that's great comments.
And good growing weather.
Yes.
One question, Mr. Ogren. I know that in my neighborhood we have quite a few landscapers, maintenance workers, and, you know, that's their business. They own those businesses. And is there a section of this where they apply to?
They certainly, yes. So they part of the website will speak directly to landscaping contractors, what they have to do in order to be eligible, and the fact that they can actually apply on behalf of their clients and property owners.
Okay, because a couple of people have asked me, you know, is this going to, for people who we just do yard maintenance, and a lot of people will stay away from the term landscaping because they do need to have a special license for that, and you know, and a lot of people just do yard maintenance or and things like that. And so I said, well, let's look at the language and we'll see, you know, if it's friendly to the different levels of service to the outside. And secondly, it is in Spanish online, correct?
I'm not sure if it's in Spanish okay. online. Celia didn't see it in Spanish.
Really?
So. Again, the eligibility of individual contractors, though, by looking at SaveOurWaterRebates.com mm-hmm. and going into there, then the individual contractors can make their own, you know, believe whether they're eligible to participate in the program. But certainly through the application process, the state will make a determination as well.
Great. Thank you.
We've had a couple of property owners who have asked if we're engaged in it, and part of the Q&A during the webinar last week was the state clearly did not want the local agencies to be processing on behalf of property owners. The only coordination that the state has with the local agencies is making sure to understand whether or not any particular agency actually has their own rebate program, because then that affects how much, you know, rebates they'll provide. But right now it has to be directly between the state and either the individual property owner or the contractor.
Okay, great. Thank you. Does anybody else have any other questions? Okay, I'll take public comment on this agenda item if anybody has it. Ms. Welsh.
Patty Welsh again. Did I hear correctly that it's only one toilet per household to get replaced? And seems like, you know, if you replaced all of them, it would be more helpful. But also, I haven't heard anything said about the infrastructure for Arroyo Grande and the condition.
Tony? How are you tonight?
Good. Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. We installed a new chlorine tank, 400-gallon, at Well 8. We replaced the old one due to a 50-cent saving per gallon going with another vendor. Sewer cleaning. We had some residents kind of ask if we can relocate some of the trash cans, and we relocated one for the post office. Just more inconvenience, just feedback from the community. So we went out there and relocated it, and it's a good thing. It's convenient for them. We had some issues with one of our wells. We haven't been pumping a lot. Due to the cutbacks everybody's saving, this well, it took a little bit to... The water quality kind of got a little bad, but we weren't utilizing it for the public. So we had to disinfect it, discharge it to waste, and bring it back online, take our samples, and everything's great. It's working good now. But we're really not pumping any water. Our state and Lopez allocations are sufficient enough. We're maybe pumping once every 2 weeks right now, and that's for a day.
Out of way.
So.
Well, that'll cut our energy costs, though,
absolutely.
That we're experiencing.
Absolutely.
And the reservoir, what is the reservoir at right now?
You know, normally...
You know, with our pumping,
yes.
Kind of do go hand in hand.
But we're not taking any Lopez water at all this year. It's all been state water.
Right.
So we're not affecting the reservoir whatsoever as for allocation.
Well, I think that's good for the region.
All the equipment's working well, the tractors, trucks, trailers?
Everything's running good.
Yes, I do.
No hiccups right now. I got no complaints.
Maintenance program is going well?
It's going. you know, office staff is short right now, so we're sharing the duties, you know, cross-training. But everything's going good.
I think that's
I just wanted I could get an update on Well 5.
Well 5, right now, I'll turn that over to the general manager.
Vice President White, I was going to cover well number 5 during my comments that
fine.
Are going to come up in
That's
a second.
Fine.
I had a note about that on my...
We all have a note on well 5. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Okay.
I think we'll skip to me. I don't see a representative from Five Cities Fire Authority. I think that they've been very busy with some of the wildfires in the local area.
And I read also they got a grant for a truck.
Director White will fill it in under director's comments.
Okay.
So
under, you know, again, another slight revision to the agenda for staff reports. We put me on there, both listing me as the GM, and, of course, I'm also on the Zone 3 Advisory Committee. With regard to Zone 3 itself, the last meeting was in July. The next meeting is in September, so I provided previously an update at the last meeting, and once we have our next meeting, I'll provide an update again. At the staff level on Zone 3, we will be reinitiating the contract review with the county. All the agencies that are Zone 3 contractors, Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, Grover, Oceano, and then County Service Area 12, but that encompasses Avila, Port San Luis. There's a number of issues we've been talking about that we want to talk through and see if we have recommendations both to your board, all the governing boards in the county on how the contracts might be revised. I'm taking the lead on that with the other agencies, and we'll be reinitiating those efforts in the next couple weeks. Now, part of that is a result of the conclusions that have been tentatively reached on the 2014 water deliveries, and this was in part response to your board's action last December, wanting to ensure that the water that was delivered in 2014 to Oceano was characterized as state water. So we initiated, your board took action in December. Discussions began earlier this year with the county. That then led to agencies acting on some procedural matters, which has been all completed, and it's anticipated now to be on the Board of Supervisors' agenda for approval because it adds about 300 acre feet of water and storage for this district, and from a water resource perspective, certainly helps with maintaining a reliable supply during the drought. I also got news from the county that the Department of Water Resources recently published a study that says that they'll be able to deliver at least 20% of state water supplies in 96% of the years. And 20%, for the most part, doesn't sound like a lot of water. However, the unique situation of our county is that if there's 20% deliveries, then the county can fulfill 100% of the local obligations. So those revisions and estimates certainly have been good for the agencies that get state water in San Luis Obispo County, as we do. With respect to, my work effort really between now and the next meeting, couple meetings, is going to be focusing in on the audit. I have a lot of work to do on the audit, and obviously we'll be moving ahead with other agenda items, but that will have a lot of the focus of my time in the coming weeks. With respect to well number five, Tony DeCruz did a great job of making sure to disassemble the old shed. We got rid of the old equipment, moved the old equipment out. They've been able to abandon a lot of the lines in the yard that are no longer used or usable. Then Fisher Pumps came in, pulled the pump, went down and did the video. And what we're being advised is that the well cannot be rehabilitated. The perforations and the condition of the well, and I looked at the video, not an expert, but certainly what they're saying seems to be pretty believable based on what I saw. So rehabilitation does not seem to be in as a possibility. Now, a reconstruction project where you actually put in, I think they were proposing, Tony, an 8-inch casing that goes inside the existing 12-inch casing to create a new casing and then, you know, fill it with whatever the pebbles or the packing material is around it, is a possibility. So we're getting cost estimates to do all of that work. I have them in hand. But the state grant that's funding the work effort is specifically for a rehabilitation. So I'm going to need to take this updated information, submit it to the state, and then have the discussions on whether or not they're agreeable to changing the scope of work to a reconstruction. The challenge associated with that is we think that the pumping volume of the well is going to drop in half, and also the estimate we're getting on the useful life would only be about 10 years. So the benefits, as we had originally hoped, if a rehabilitation was possible, and we knew going in it was a question, but how do we do a better job locally in developing collaborative efforts for regional supplies? And certainly during the drought right now, that's coming to a forefront on the minds of many. And the approach that the county is taking is really to have three different sub-regions, South County, North Coast, and North County, and that's already established. But the discussion today was that we really have to engage at the sub-regional level, at the South County level, in order to get various agencies engaged. You know, whether that's working with the MESA and the NNMA of the groundwater, with NCMA, working with the Avila Valley area, working with the Sand District on the reclaimed water project. There's a lot of regional collaboration that can be done, and the basic approach is to work it at the sub-regional level first. And so I'm anticipating that the county is going to be calling for a sub-regional meeting in October in order to start developing the strategies on how local agencies can better collaborate down in South County. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
No questions?
Of course. If we had to abandon well 5, would we consider down the road punching a new well? Or?
Well, we certainly can consider that. The advantage that we saw in well number 5 is that it pumps in the same strata, if you will, as I believe it's well number 4. Yeah. Thank you, Tony. But well 5 previously had significantly more pumping capabilities than well 4 was. That's why we were hoping to rehabilitate it. So to punch a hole at the same strata as well number 4, I'm not sure that that would be quite cost beneficial.
Yeah,
if it was a relatively minor cost to rehabilitate and funded by a grant, then yes. But I have to hold off on any opinion of wanting to drill a new well at that location at this time.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Did you attend, or is IRWM starting to meet again?
Yeah, so...
They did start to meet.
Yeah, so it's, the IRWM falls underneath that regional water management group. So the regional group, water management group is the group responsible for implementing the IRWM. And so today was sort of the staff level meeting, and then next week is the actual regional water management group meeting with the elected officials and the formal appointees.
Okay, and any future projects on reclamation or
yeah, so
DSAL or Cambria's projects and that, they're coming out of that funding stream predominantly, correct? Or not?
Yes and no. So integrated regional water management really has two different components to it. One is the collaboration of local agencies working together in order to figure out how we're going to meet our common objectives. Again, whether it's water supply or working with some of the NGO, non-governmental organizations on environmental enhancements, but you know, how is it that we collaborate on water supply efforts or water resource-related efforts? The second component is there funding available for it? So some projects will get funding, through as they have in the past, through the IRWM funds, but funding's not the only consideration. It's the collaboration and trying to figure out how we're going to locally get done what we need to get done. So we reviewed the project list today, the two items that would be potentially beneficial for a Five Cities area that are not on the project list right now is the Diablo proposal with regard to desalinization. Obviously, that's an issue that's in the front burner of the county. The Board of Supervisors had an item, a board business item on it on Tuesday, and they're moving forward with continuing to pursue that project. The other one that wasn't on the list that really needs to get on the list is the reclamation project from South County Sanitation District. No worries that it's not on the list right now, but certainly because of some of the funding that will become available for Prop 1, making sure to get that in there. And I'm not sure if the Sand District is actually a partner with the Regional Water Management Group yet, but some of my outreach is going to be the NCMA and the other South County agencies to make sure that we're all engaging in those efforts as the best as we can.
So in the past, I've noticed that on the list, it's a lot of times it was predominantly focused on the north or on the northern coast in the county, and by default or by that cluster being ready to hit the ground running, but you know, it wasn't like an intentional thing, right?
That's
so
correct.
What my question is are there other entities in the South County that is going to make it possible to collaborate if that's one of the spirits of the
yes.
funding and this loose organizational structure.
That's right. So one of the to-dos that came out of the meeting today from the staff uh-huh. is to make sure to identify, who is part of the regional water management group, who's not, in order to do outreach to those water purveyors or agencies who are not yet part of the partnership. And secondly, also to identify the consortiums, if you will, of other entities, other formats. So, for example, we have Zone 1 and 1A. Mm-hmm. That's an advisory committee, and they're working on Arroyo Grande Creek, making sure that their efforts associated with the creek are being represented in the regional water management group. And so that idea of making sure to identify who's currently actively involved but not part of the partnership so that we can do the outreach and get the bigger group together. And by focusing in on the subregions then, the hope is that we know our neighbors better and we can get our neighbors engaged, and therefore we can make sure that all the projects that need to be on that list from South County are actually in it. Because historically, it was just simply a matter of who decided to step forward and get involved, and those were the projects that showed up on the list. And so now we need to do the outreach to the broader group and make sure everybody's part of the partnership.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Does anybody want to comment on the staff reports?
Madam President, so the yes. way that item 7 is set up is that the next public comment would be on staff report, board of directors, and outside committee reports as well as the...
I know.
Okay.
I'm just throwing in another public comment. Just
at your
because.
Discretion.
That's right.
Mr. Brown?
I think we need to give credit where credit's due. I have a lot of legitimate criticisms of this body and of your manager, but water is not one of them. I think you guys are handling your water issues quite well, and I'm hopeful that we can collaborate with Arroyo Grande and the other bodies when it comes to dealing with what are going to be severe water issues within the next year. I think we're going to find that we're in a much worse situation than we are now. I don't think people even have a clue of where we're at. We all talk that we know about the drought, but the reality is we don't really know how bad it is. So I will come to this microphone and I will criticize, and that's what I'll do. But I also have to give you credit where credit is due. And I believe that you've done a good job with your water issues, and I just want to say that publicly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who'd like to do public comment? Hearing none, we're going to move on the agenda then. Mr. Ogren, you'll keep us up to date on this. And next time, can we talk a little bit about the LRRP, the Low Reservoir Response Plan?
Certainly.
Because it does impact a lot of farmers. It impacts the municipalities. It does impact everybody. And that's when the dam gets to a certain level, the rules change. And so the more people who are knowledgeable of the rules and not if, but when it drops to that point, we'll be able to assist people a little bit better, and we'll be better versed on it as well. So could you put LLRP on the list for me?
Be glad to.
Okay. Directors, outside committee reports. Let's start with Director Angelo.
I love this thing. I did not attend any meetings this last month. I had some issues with health, and unfortunately I didn't make it for Port Landius either.
Okay.
I also did not have any meetings since our last meeting, any committee meetings.
Okay. Did you attend one this morning or not?
No, I was not able to attend.
Okay, you'll attend the IRW
next week,
right? And I have RAC next week. You have morning.
Yeah.
Okay, great. You know, we should have lunch sometime.
Let's go.
Karen?
Yes. I'll start with the Zone 11A. Met on the 18th. Two or three different things that I can report from that. The first is that we did receive an update on the habitat conservation plan that has been underway since about 1998 for the Arroyo Grande Creek. And there is some sign that it is getting closer to being done. And one of the things that could show up very close, like in the next month, is the water availability analysis of the watershed that is a part of that plan. And that is going to show, because the habitat conservation plan is what is going to determine the amount of water that is sent down the creek for the endangered species, including the steelhead and the spotted red-legged frog. Red-legged frog. I was saying, because there's the spotted dissin and the saltwater goby. And that's the long-range thing. The short-range thing is they've started the yearly cleanup of the channel. They are working on vegetation management. One of the things they're doing is trying to remove invasive species on the riverbanks, including ivies, English ivy, and vinca, better known as periwinkle, better known as myrtle, which I know personally, Roundup just fertilizes it. And they are able to use some herbicides, but some of this is going to be literally going down and digging out plants. And they also, they've got $34,000 to spend, and then they will also be working on the Lost Bears Channel, as well as the creek, and they hope to have everything that they're going to be done by October 15th. And there's other things, but those are kind of the highlights. Also attended the Five Cities Fire Authority's regular meeting on August 21st. We looked at, I have to get the right two copies of everything here. We looked at goals and objectives for fiscal year 15-16, and one of the major long-term goals is develop a strategic plan. And we're also going to be concurrently looking, evaluating, and adjusting our automatic aid agreements with the partner agencies. There's some short-term things, like we need some new self-contained breathing apparatus and plans to replace the fire truck and that stuff. Another thing that we discussed at length, and I kind of brought it up, was emergency planning for this winter. Because having sat through the 1-1-A meeting, I realized that they were talking about what the easements were for when they have to blow out the south side of the levee and flood the agricultural fields if it does rain a lot this winter and the creek floods. And there is the creek does represent a hazard. And what I hope we can get completed within the next couple of months for the Five Cities Fire Authority is some kind of a very simple general plan to tell the residents, especially of the lower-lying areas of Grover Beach and Oceano, and there is some threat from the Las Berres and the other Blue Line creeks that flow into that around where the high school is, too. What to do in case of disaster? Because as things sit right now, the county has a disaster plan. Grover Beach has a disaster plan. Oceano's plan is tied into the county, I should add. And Arroyo Grande has a disaster plan. And I'm thinking we need some way we can tell people one place where they can go in case of flooding. Because the first place to be flooded will be the lowlands of Oceano. So, and I'm going to continue to work on that so that I truly don't know where I would tell people in Oceano to come, whether they go to the community center, whether they come here, who they call, whether they go to the counties, the sheriff's department handle it, does Five Cities Fire Authority handle it. There's a lot of things I don't know, and if I don't know, a lot of other people don't too. So anyway, in the meantime, they also, Chief Lieberman, in a rather brilliant move, has set a response summary report that will be computerized and online. And he's monitoring all calls at a station response and also by community borders. Because I don't think people know that the Oceano Fire Station's response area includes part of Grover Beach. They're the first responding trek to parts of Grover Beach because they can get there quicker than by, whether it's a fire, an emergency medical service call, a hazardous condition, a good intent, or a service call like sometimes we get legitimate calls of people who need to, for instance, somebody's bringing her husband home from the hospital and she needs help with her husband getting him into the home and stuff. The fire department responds to that. The fire department responds to changing batteries and smoke alarms for people. I mean, those are simple things, but that's part of what the fire department does. And we also chart false alarms. And in connection with false alarms, we're going to study a little bit about, how did we write it here? I'm looking for the specific words, but I can say sometimes getting some compensation for some of the calls that we make. Because normally everything the fire department does is for free. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Get this all out. There was an incident in Santa Barbara where a 911 call went out for a fatal accident. Well, it became a fatal accident on State Street. And the call went to the California Highway Patrol in Ventura. And it was about four blocks from the Santa Barbara City Fire Station. And by the time they got there, person involved had died, and they're looking for a new way to operate 911, the whole 911 system, so it isn't tied specifically. If you're on the freeway, the CHP gets called. If you're here, somebody gets called, so that it's
have to watch our money, and particularly in government, and there was a pretty large increase in dispatch last year. It went from 18,870 to 29,900. So that's one of the reasons why I ask about dispatch.
Yeah, well,
is to make sure that it's, you know,
it's
getting
working,
what it needs.
It's working very well.
Great.
I had both the California, both the Cal Fire and Roy Grandy, the hook and ladder from Roy Grandy, respond to the house next door to the Halcyon store the other night. A neighbor is staying in one place temporarily, and he saw the barbecue fire of another neighbor behind the house, and it was a big barbecue fire.
And I'm not going to report on the Sand District because I think that there are plenty of reps here from the Sand District. We have it on the agenda. We have an agreement on the agenda, so I don't really have much to add to that. So I'll just hold off on that. Do we hear any public? Does anybody have any public comment for items that are not on the agenda?
No, for items on the.
I think you mean.
That got moved.
All right. Okay.
Here.
I know that's the
not on the agenda, and I'm smiling.
I know we corrected the agenda. So,
Mr. Edwards.
Ms. Lucy, good evening, board members. Again, my name is Jeff Edwards, and I had several comments on several topics, including Zone 11A. And I also attended the August 18th Zone 11A meeting. And one of the things I did is I had asked County Public Works to prepare a list of all the drainage-related projects, either flood control and drainage-related projects that had been accomplished in Oceano since the December 19th, 2010 flood. I don't know, need to go into the details on that. Coincidentally, your now GM, then acting public works director, was the principal architect for these projects that have been implemented in Oceano. And I wanted to briefly go over those. The total cost of these projects is about $2.4 million. So over the last 5 years, the county has spent $2.5 million. I'm not sure I see it on the ground, frankly. To give you a little bit of an example, you may remember sandbar management. That was $161,000. The pipeline and pump in Juanita that never got installed, that was over $60,000. There's environmental and engineering support, almost a quarter of $1 million. Of the $2.4 million, in terms of on-the-ground improvements, maybe $50,000. Now, this doesn't include some of the maintenance work that was done in the flood control channel, but you have to. One has to ask themselves, what did you get for $2.4 million? And my belief, my prediction, unfortunately, is it will know how to operate them. And yet, they've gone, they've changed the hoist mechanism, and I guess they're hoping that things work out better for them because it didn't last time, it didn't work out for the community. So the second item I'd like to talk about is I attended, as I saw a number of you, the Water Symposium at South County Regional Center regarding water on the 13th of August. And you had a booth, the district had a booth there, and I picked up a frequently asked question summary that your district had prepared for your residents, and I wanted to mention a couple things. In this, it says NASA says California only has 1 year of water left. How many years of water does Oceano have? The answer is 2 years. Did you know you have 2 years of water left? That's amazing to me because you have 900 acre feet of groundwater, which would almost cover the demand here. So I don't know how you could rates will be reduced. What it doesn't really tell your ratepayers is that that slight reduction is going to be replaced by a major rate increase on the order of 50 to 75%, quite likely. And this is to fund basic water infrastructure that this district needs, because right now the only way you can afford to do them, you can't pay as you go like most entities do. You have to get grants to do anything in this district. And that's largely because you're paying your general manager a couple hundred grand a year. So without grants, you're stuck. And I think that's problematic. You're unable to make needed improvements. And in fact, you heard about Well 5, you know, your grants no longer, the well projects, the rehab project, you heard a little bit about that. Diablo Canyon is the new answer for water resource limitations in the South County, if you didn't follow that. Diablo Canyon has all of 500 acre feet to distribute to the South County. 500 acre feet. Now, they could scale up their desal facility at some unknown cost to maybe ratchet up to 1,200 acre feet per year. The bottom line is two things. One is that this need for a South County water resource, however small, it's back. Remember the genie that you couldn't get back in the bottle? Well, it's still not back in the bottle. The county public works department is citing seawater intrusion at your Century well in 2009 as a fundamental basis to pursue this Diablo Canyon desal project, to build a seven-mile pipeline. And the last part of that comment I'll make, that topic, is that your district should not waste 1 second of staff time on that Diablo Canyon project. That's not water you need, that's not water you want, and that's not water you should pay for in any way, shape, or form. So please tell your general manager, please direct him, because he likes to manage things on a regional and sub-regional basis, loves to get into that larger picture. You don't need. So please advise him to, he doesn't have to go to those meetings. Thanks.
Ms. Welch?
Yes, I'd like to comment on Karen White, what she just said about the emergency plan. I think that's great. I think Oceana really does need an emergency plan. But one of the things I heard you say was you don't know where you would ask citizens to go. And one of my concerns is the fire station here, and that the roof has been patched a lot of times through the years, and I don't see that it's in the budget to pay for a new roof. So I would ask that you maybe consider that. You know, that would be, if I'm a citizen and there's an emergency, I think fire departments, police departments, that kind of area. So just a suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brown.
Thank you for listening again. I want to talk about the Five Cities Fire Authority. It's another JPA issue that needs to be discussed amongst your body and your manager. The part of the problems we're having with current JPAs is that we talk about not having written agreements, or we have side agreements, handshake agreements, that are followed for a while and then not followed. And what happened with the Fire Authority was there was a handshake agreement to change the formula, and it was well known, and it was well established. There's plenty of facts to prove that. I don't have to do that here. And now your manager, I think based on your recommendation, is trying to go retroactively and ask for money retroactively, and that's clearly inappropriate. If, in fact, there were agreements that were made, it's inappropriate to now, many years later, to go back and say, oh, no harm, no foul, we want what we want. If in fact there's a problem with the current formula, we need to talk about it, and we need to have new agreements. That's what we need to do. I want everybody to have an equitable and fair shake. I don't want Arroyo Grande to have it better than you guys. I don't want you to have it better than Arroyo Grande. I don't want Grover Beach to have it any better. But it's really unreasonable to ask Arroyo Grande to pony up to the tune of $300,000, mainly, which I believe is because your body hired a manager at $200,000 a year, which is outrageous. It's amazingly outrageous when you compare it to what goes on in other communities. you're trying to make up for lost ground. And everything that he does is to make up for lost ground. And I can show you fact after fact for that issue. So what I'm asking you to do is, Miss Lucy, Mr. Guerrero talked about having written agreements. I want you to talk amongst your body, have a discussion, understand that when I go to City Council in Arroyo Grande and when I go to the Fire Authority, I'm going to fight long and hard against any retroactivity when it's been this kind of handshake agreement. Everything's okay. This is how we're going to do things. And now all of a sudden, you guys are in financial straits. I get that. I don't begrudge you for being in financial straits. We have all been there. But to come back now and say, oh, now we want our money back, is truly unreasonable. So I just want you to understand and be aware that we are going to, we as a city council are going to fight that. Thank you.
And Mr. Brown, I'm sorry, but some of us don't understand what you're talking about.
There is a discussion that Mr. Ogren started about having retroactive payments from Arroyo Grande to deal with not having enough money to deal with the fire authority, and it's come forward in public meetings. The red light started, so I don't know whether I should go or not.
No. There's a dialogue going on between
so
the community.
So my
right
point
now
is this, and it goes to my idea that JPAs, whether it's the Sand District or the Fire Authority, they're both dysfunctional. They're incredibly dysfunctional.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the situation they're in. That's not what I asked you, right? I just want a clarification.
Mr. Ogren has made representation on a handshake agreement that was okay at the time. I'm not saying it was the appropriate thing to do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say what was done.
I just needed the facts,
was
sir.
Done and not was correct. But it's totally inappropriate for this body to now go back and say retroactively.
I think that's hearsay and that this body has not discussed that.
You can say it's hearsay. I know it's a fact. So you just had civil discourse people come forward and say it's fact. If you think it's hearsay, check it out.
Thank you.
Any more in your disaster preparedness in case we hopefully do get these big El Nino storms that we're all kind of counting on? Thank you.
Thank you. Can we do an update on the backup generator?
Actually, that is going to be discussed as part of the budget.
I was going to say it's in the budget for a little later.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And I'll be glad when public comment is over to address a couple of the comments.
Okay. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak under public comment for items that are not on the agenda?
Why not on the agenda?
No, not on the agenda. So, hearing none, very good. Business items.
Well, Madam President, if I might real quickly, just to make sure that there was a little bit of misinformation during the public comment period, so with all due respect, I just want to clarify a couple items. Mr. Edwards spoke to the Diablo project, and in fact, at last meeting, it was your board's consensus to spend no money on the Diablo alternative. So that is something that's already been on your agenda. It's already been discussed. And certainly, I understand the direction of your board. Secondly, with respect to the comments on the Five Cities Fire Authority and retroactive requests by Oceano, those statements were false statements. They may be hearsay, but certainly they're false. And in fact, your board took specific action on that topic, and the action was to only ask for a calculation to be produced so that we could understand where was it that in the prior years the actual funding by agencies deviated from the formula that's in the JPA. And part of the board discussion at that time was very specific, is that we don't know whether or not those deviations resulted in additional billings to Oceano or didn't bill Oceano enough money. We have no idea what it is. All we know is that the actual funding deviated from what was in the written JPA. Not having any knowledge as to why it deviated, the request for the analysis was simply that, just an analysis. But your board has not acted on anything in order to ask for any money back in prior years because the analysis hasn't even been done. We don't even know if it's a significant issue or not. But again, you know, there has been no board action asking for any money from Arroyo Grande, and certainly nothing in the order of, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars that the speaker alluded to. So, again, I just wanted to speak to both of those items for clarification on some misstatements that were made.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Is there anybody on the board who want to comment on this or add to this?
No.
At all?
No.
Okay, let's do this.
8 o'clock, you want to take a break?
Let's do this. Let's do 8A.
Okay.
Take a quick 5-minute break and come back and finish the agenda. Does that sound okay with everybody?
It does.
Okay, great. Consent agenda. Is there anybody who'd like to do public comment?
Sorry, real quickly, prior to public comment, we did have one modification on the requested disbursements, and that was to add another $100 disbursement for testing for a level 3 license by one of our operators. That was the only change to the AP disbursements.
And that was the one that was right here, correct?
Correct.
That's the SWRCB / drinking water operator certification.
Okay. So then the total would be 32,355.15, correct? Or not? Total warrant packet, 32,000.
I don't have any comments on the warrants or the cash disbursement.
Okay.
Right now.
Karen, do you have any comments?
No.
Matt?
None.
Lori?
No.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve as presented.
Madam President, sorry again, I had interrupted you for the change, but public comment on the consent agenda still is
right.
Necessary.
Public comment on consent items. Hearing none.
Move to approve as modified.
Second.
Ms. White.
Karen. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Passes. 5-minute break, please. This meeting back to order with a couple of house cleaning things. I first want to thank people for being patient with us as it relates to public comment. We've been changing public comment around so people could speak more on all the issues, and in the process, some of the public comments didn't get properly deleted, so I thought, well, it's better to have too many public comments than not enough public comments. So with that in mind, just bear with us. Secondly is that, as we all know, sitting up here, things start to echo. And so when there's talk in the background, it echoes to the front. I ask you to please keep that in mind so everybody could hear. And on that note, moving right along. Mr. Ogren, do you want to lead us into the discussion, the first business item discussion?
Certainly, Madam President. Item number 9A is consideration of a request by the Regional Transit Authority to approve the sale of bus passes for the Regional Transit Authority and South County Transit. And Mary Gardner with the Regional Transit Authority here is to present their request. It's partly precipitated because Rabobank was providing the sale, and they are no longer providing the sale. And certainly I think it's worthy of your board's consideration. We have a lot of individuals in Oceano who walk up and they pay their bills in, you know, at the counter. And many of those same individuals are the ones who will actually be, you know, getting bus passes and stuff. So based on the volume of work, I think it's a pretty nominal effort. And at this point, I'd like to allow Mary to discuss the request from the RTA with your board.
Hi.
What was your full name again? I'm sorry.
Good evening. I'm Mary Gardner. I'm
Mary
the marketing
Gardner.
Manager at RTA.
Okay, great.
So, yes, as Mr. Ogren had described, one of our primary partners in selling bus passes to the community has dropped out, and so we are seeking new partners, and some of what we deem as our more ideal partners are places where community members already come to, that are open, that are staffed, and that are organized and can handle the process. The process is very simple and straightforward. It is cash-based only, no credit card processing. The RTA, we provide the materials, the training, and a full-time employee who is a contact for any questions or issues that might possibly arise. And so the Oceano CSD looks like a great partnership from our viewpoint because you're already a really strong community central point here in Oceano. We do have riders here. In this area, we serve both the South County Transit system, which RTA oversees, and then the Route 10 does come through not exactly this community, but very close to it. And so we'll be seeking additional outlets everywhere in our service area. But Oceana is one of those areas, you know, that depending on who the rider is, the option to purchase bus passes online is not a really viable option for some of our riders. And so we're looking for more non-digital human blood. If things didn't work out, you know, the CSD is, it's, you know, you're physically located in a great area for Oceano. You already have, as Mr. O'Grin had said, a lot of other services that people are used to coming to your office for. You have parking, you have staff, you're open. And so we are hoping that you would consider our proposal to include this process.
Great.
Thank and you. If you have any questions or anything.
Ms. White had it.
Of course. Does there have to be any special bonding for the person taking this, or is
no.
Our people are already...
No. Maybe we're a little low-tech in that way, but it's very basic accounting. So we have some other... we prefer... other semi, you know, because we're a governmental agency, it just seems to work nicely in people's minds to go to another governmental agency, but we haven't required any kind of bonding.
And how far through Oceana does the bus route go now? I know it...
That's a good question.
Turns at 13th or at...
I don't actually have it memorized.
I know it does not go down to the beach.
No, we don't serve the beach, but we are potentially in January adding an additional route with the exciting name of Route 26 that has funding in it. It will most likely be implemented in January, and that will increase Oceano service coming down 13th, going, including some stops at, where we see a high need, like the there's a senior mobile home park mm-hmm. called Grandmothers mm-hmm. And they are heavy bus riders, and so serving some areas that have high need. And then the point of that particular route is to take people from Oceano up to the shopping and medical centers and
in Pismo or at the outlet malls or
outlet and up to like the Walmart and the Kmart
Great.
Shopping areas. And then to also service people who need to get to Hotel Row mm-hmm. because there's quite a few, according to our survey, we surveyed all the hotels up and down the Shell Beach Row, and there's a good amount of population that live in this area that need transportation up to the hotel. So this route would serve those people to get them to their jobs in the morning and back home in the afternoon. And so that's the goal of that particular route, and that's supposed to start in January.
I know that if somebody wanted to get on the bus from here to, like, Arroyo Grande, they'd have to change buses at the hub in Grover Beach. And I always thought it would, you know, take an hour and two buses to get, like, to the Arroyo Grande Hospital. And I always wondered why you didn't go the other way sometimes.
The bus routes are an interesting. We actually call this area the Spaghetti Bowl because the routes have swirled around. It is... South County Transit has a separate board from RTA, but we work with that board, and one of the proposed items for in the future is to reorganize the routes and why they go, but I know that very often there are restrictions based on traffic or weight of the bus, like what the road is built to bear, where we're actually allowed to drive. Sometimes there's areas that have need, but we can't physically take a bus there.
Yeah.
And that is some of the restrictions in this area, is small roads, some funky little bridges that you guys sneak in, that sometimes we can drive a heavy bus over, sometimes we can't. So there's sometimes restrictions like that exist, and I don't know all of them, like case by case, but I do know that there's some situations like that in the South County.
Yeah. Airport Drive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Pavel.
Just one quick question, Ms. Gardner. And my understanding, based on our discussion, is that our neighboring agencies are currently working and selling bus passes for RTA at no cost.
Yes, that is correct. So we have pass sale outlets at Grover Beach, where we have the City Hall actually sells them there. So because... I don't know why at the time that agreement was made, but it seemed more accessible. It's on the route. It's in a heavily touristed area, so locals and tourists could get there. So that's in your area. Those are some of the other outlets. And then we are working and negotiating with the Pismo outlets as well and that California Tourism Center to hopefully add them to our list.
I had the misfortunate effort of owning a utility pay station at one point in my life. And
first week.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But most of the people came on the bus. And so I was wondering, have you worked with the authorized pay station in this area? Because they, by law, have to have one. And I know that Senate Insurance is PG&E and the Southern California Gas Company's authorized pay station. And then I know that Walmart also does utilities.
I will look into that. I do not know.
That's not to cancel out the district.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that those are two other areas where people congregate to pay their utilities, their bills.
I will look into that because we are seeking replacement, so maybe that would be more of... We sit around and brainstorm and try to think of what seems like a healthy option for our riders to go to.
Right.
You know, that makes sense. So, like, Walmart would be a sensible place if they would take that on. Sometimes it's more difficult with massive corporations.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we've had better luck with community-based businesses.
Okay, great. Yeah.
I'm greatly encouraged by we'll be going to the Pismo Outlet Mall. So I tried riding the bus to San Luis for a while, and it was three buses, an hour and a half, and finally I just started driving again.
And layover from Ramona Garden to over to Pismo to better connect with the 10.
That was the one,
which will take you more smoothly. So we're starting little changes like that, and that first change happens next Monday.
Excellent.
So,
I will take a look. I'm a big supporter.
It's government. It's turning the giant ship, but these small changes as we go along. This is one that we're implementing starting Monday. So maybe that would work better for you. It's worth looking at.
I'm a big supporter. I worked for Amtrak for 3.5 years, so I think there needs to be more trains, more buses everywhere myself. But have you checked the community center? Lucia Mario Unified School District runs the Oceano Community Center. It is staffed, and they have after-school projects and stuff. It's which street is that? 20?
Lucia Mario.
I should know this.
Community.
Lucia Mario, yeah. And is it 19th Street? I have the worst sense of direction. I'm proving it right now, too.
No, me
but
too.
It's over across from Oceano Elementary. There's a large contingent of after-school activities, and there's some reusing that for different purposes. I think there's going to be a newspaper article coming
out. If it qualifies, if it has things like staff and hours that are regular that people can go
yes,
to.
Yes, it's staffed.
Yeah.
And I don't know what your criteria are, but... You could check. I could give you the phone number.
Because, like what we brought up, because it is a cash basis process. Like, it turns out, like we can't utilize the Napomo Chamber of Commerce, which was what we were hoping would be a viable option, because they actually rent out their site regularly, and there's nobody to secure like a cash box. So
their number is 474-3000. And that's the main switchboard.
You are handy. Okay.
I'm not good for much. But 474-3000, that's the main switchboard for Lucy Amar Unified School District, and they answer out of the community center. And so there's two staff members that work it Monday through Friday.
We can check. I mean, we do sell bus passes at AG High, mm-hmm. which is, we have, you know, a partnership with the school district already for that.
Great.
So
thank you so much.
I'm going to move this agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can hang out and talk about this all night.
I'll move to approve. If staff recommends approval, I'll move to approve.
Second.
Madam President, we will need to have public comment again.
Oh. Yes, we will.
Thank you so much for your
consideration. Thank you so much, Ms. Gardner.
So, on that note, is there any other board members who want to make a comment? No? Is there anybody from the audience who would like to add anything to this agenda item? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve staff recommendation.
I guess I should make a recommendation then, because as written, I asked for board direction as deemed appropriate, and that direction could be as simple as directing staff to work with the RTA to sell bus passes in Oceano.
Do it.
And you could add in there consistent with the neighboring agencies.
Do it.
Okay. That could be it too. Just do it.
I'll second Ms. White's. Do it.
Do it.
Okay.
We got the letter last week, put it on the agenda real quick, and then legal counsel, Mr. Minnery next to me, and I took a look at the agreement that your board had approved on June 10th and then wrote in some modifications to that, posted it yesterday as well as distributed copies to board members. And the substance of it is a couple of provisions in comparison to June 10th. One is that the sanitation district has asked us to collect connection fees for new development. That's a new issue on the table for this particular agreement. I support it, and legal counsel Minnery incorporated it into the agreement with basically two provisions associated with it. One is that when we have new development come forward, as a little bit of a background, when we issue intent to serve letters, we provide referrals both to Five Cities Fire Authority as well as South County Sanitation District. We would continue to do that, and our expectation would be that the Sanitation District then would give us some sort of a confirmation of what the dollar amount is that we need to be collecting from the property owner, as well as any determinations on special conditions or what I refer to as, I think it's called the special industrial use permit, but those apply in situations where if there's a manufacturing, granted we don't have much in Oceano, but they could produce waste products that aren't allowable to go into the wastewater collection system without some sort of a pre-treatment or whatever. But again, as the treatment entity, if there is any special conditions associated with industrial use permits, then we would make sure that we would need to understand those as well. So again, we're agreeable to collecting the connection fees with the proper coordination with the sanitation district. The other issue is the question of what about the billing that did not occur in the August billing period. So what they've asked for is to catch up on that one as well and essentially cover the two billing periods, both the past one and the current one coming up. We structured the agreement that there would be what's called the service fee for both of them. I think that might be a question or issue that Mr. Sweet addresses. But in order to do the catch-up, we will also have some other additional costs associated with that. I don't know what those additional costs are now. We've been working with Tyler, which is our software company, in order to determine the most efficient, the least costly way of doing the catch-up billing. And a couple of the alternatives are, do we just incorporate everything into the upcoming bill? Of course, then the dollar amounts would need to be changed, or we'd have to figure out how to put a supplemental line item in order to do that task. And we have some customers today that were not customers in the prior billing and vice versa. So there's not a lot of those, but we would have to address that as well. So the draft agreement that's in front of you would accommodate the catch-up billing as well. It has the service fee for both billing periods and then whatever our additional costs are. And then we obligate ourselves in this agreement to itemize those additional costs so that the sanitation district can see specifically what they were or what they are. And, of course, in continuing to work on this with Tyler, the approach that would be the least costly approach is the approach that we would pursue. And that concludes my comments on the matter. And, again, Mr. Sweet may have questions or comments as well. And I would encourage that discussion to be independent from public comment.
I think there's also a concern about if it goes out on the same billing, what if somebody doesn't pay?
...of putting it into a combined bill. Is that if it's a separate bill, collection may be more problematic?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that the sanitation district, I mean, could do is to say, look, we just want it on the same bill, even if it's not the least costly alternative. Right now, I'm just pledging that we should do either approach, whatever is least costly, but when they reconsider it and if they say, even if it is more expensive, we want it on the same bill for reasons like collection, then certainly I think we should accommodate that request.
Because obviously the sanitation district doesn't have the ability to somebody to walk in and pay cash. It's a secured facility.
Yeah.
Just one moment. Can I ask AGP to check the sound? I'm having a really bad feedback and an echo. Can you hear it as well? Is anybody in that kitchen?
Yep.
Yes. It was a lot worse when we got it out in the scooter camera.
Okay. So you'll adjust our bill, right? Secondly, this agreement, did the district write this agreement or did the SAND district write this agreement? OCSD wrote this agreement.
Correct.
Has the SAND district ever sent us an agreement?
Well, we first tendered an agreement. Their attorney then produced an agreement. It was never tendered to us because it was not adopted by the SAND district board,
mm-hmm.
but their attorney had been engaged in the development of one agreement. That again, it just simply wasn't tendered to us because it wasn't approved by their governing board. But,
President Lucy,
yes.
The agreement that the SAND District's legal counsel prepared was, in fact, very similar to the prior agreement your board reviewed. However, it was rejected by the SAND District board, and so it was never presented.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, if they spent the time doing it, maybe we could actually get to a point of agreeing is, you know, where I'm going with that is. But I did see something referenced in here to monthly services, and I have to go back and look at that because it's bi-monthly. But Mr. Sweet, would you like to speak to this issue?
Thank you very much, President Lucy. My name is Rick Sweet. I'm the manager of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And first, let me thank and commend you for your service to your community. I know it is not an easy path. And as many of you are aware, I've been personally committed to resolving this issue, often to less than unanimous support. And even though my tenure at the district is coming to a close, I would tonight to see if we can wrap this baby up, because we certainly have been working on it for a while, and I think we're very close. At the last Sanitation District Board meeting, the board asked me to seek to restore billing services by the OCSD and asked that your board consider terms, which are in your board packet, and they by way of a letter that I sent to your manager the day after the SAND District Board meeting. The item that seems to be the trickiest is the missed billing that occurred in August of this year. So what my board had proposed that the be included in the October billing, which is upcoming, at twice the rate. I know there's an issue with, which I did not understand before, which is quite clear now, that there are people who have actually changed services in that amount of time. But I think, as your manager pointed out, it would ease collection issues and it would lessen confusion issues. People, because if we send out a separate billing for just the SAND district billing, for people have never seen that. So I'm not sure they would know how to respond to that. Whereas if they see it occur as it has in the past, I think they would be it'd be easier for them to respond. I know that they're going to have questions about the double billing, but I think we did send out a postcard last week, and it's unfortunately been receiving an amazing response, and we've been receiving a lot of calls where we notified all of our common customers that this may in fact occur, that they may receive a double billing. So that's all I'm asking for, and I'm hoping that we can accomplish that and wrap this up. I think our district's willing to pay the incidental costs that would be due to double billing, and that's all I ask for today, and I'm hoping that your board would consider our requests in these regards, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
For clarification for my sake, so you're saying continue forward and do two billings, not to bundle the two billings, correct?
No. To bundle the two billing okay. in your October billing.
And that I think that that's a hardship for a lot of households. That's $60 just on that line item on that bill.
I understand that's an issue, but where we are right now, I mean, we are coming up on the 1st of September. It may be extremely difficult for a separate billing to go out much in advance of the October billing anyway. I mean, you're hearing that there's still software concerns and how that would actually occur. So by the time you actually bundle that billing, I think you're not going to be that different on your timing. So I agree. It's been a conundrum, and we're looking to try to get back on track, and I'm hoping that you can help us so that we can move forward, and I appreciate your concerns.
I have a question, if I might.
Sure.
I was a little bit confused about the payment. There was the payment of $3,666 starting with the October billing. So I was just confused about if there would be a payment for the August billing also, or if you were only hoping to pay the incidentals.
We were only hoping that since we received no services for the October for the August billing, we were hoping not to pay for the August billing, and we were hoping to pay the cost of our share of the cost for the October billing plus the incidental costs associated with whatever it took to add that to
add the extra.
And I don't think that that's the way the agreement stands presently. I mean, it's true. You have us over a barrel. I'm just hoping that this is my effort to seek a resolution and try and bring some type of healing element here.
Okay. That was why I was wondering, because
And whether it's incorporated in the October bills or separate bills, we would still be billing for two different billing cycles. And so the draft agreement has $3,666 for both the August as well as the October billing cycle and objective of getting back on track.
I guess now that I hear how he interpreted it, I certainly wasn't my... the initial $366 payment will be due for service of bread for the October 2015 billing is what I think my letter says. So I'm sorry if there was any confusion about that, but I think from my point of view, I was doing my best to try to make that clear. But and that was our proposal, is that we would start paying for the services we actually received, which would be the October billing.
And the August billing.
And the incidental costs associated with whatever it took to bring it up. So it was not not for the August billing. It was not my proposal.
I will note that this disagreement, boondoggle, whatever you want to call it, is not the fault of Mr. Sweet or legal counsel who did advise.
You need to speak up, Mr. Grimmel.
It is not the fault of Mr. Sweet or legal counsel who did advise at the meeting to enter into the agreement with Oceano, and that was rejected by the board. So I would thank Mr. Sweet, who has been very diligent. He and I have had a number of conversations about this, and he's been very diligent about trying to be the bridge and the peacemaker and come to an agreement, and
like he said a minute ago, his tenure is coming to an end. It has been a pleasure, Rick, working with you, and I will miss you tremendously. You have been a great asset, and I really am sorry that we won't be building a recycled treatment plant together. That'll be a great district. And the Prop 1 monies we were talking about, that trying to obtain any grants, any fundings, any loans, having this outstanding liability of, you know, or not liability, but outstanding collections that are potentially not going to be done for $500,000 a year, or more significant portion of our budget. And I think it would be irresponsible for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District not to continue the use of these services, at least up and until other services can be determined. There's been some discussion about having them put on the tax rolls. There's some opposition to that as well. It's not fully vetted, but the answer in the meantime is not just to let the bills hang out there. Is about $600 per billing cycle. So between my different properties. So it was quite nice when that wasn't on my bill, but this is an agreement that should go forward. There's been a significant amount of staff and legal expense that's been put into this, and that's being borne by the ratepayers of Oceano, which is not fair to the ratepayers of Oceano. Again, not the fault of Mr. Sweet, who did recommend previously that that the agreement be signed. And this is really, again, spending time in a meeting like this is, on a manufactured issue, is something we should not be doing. And we shouldn't be here at this moment. So anyway, those are my two cents. And again, my appreciation and my admiration for Mr. Sweet is intact.
So there would be a difference in workload if we had sent out the bill for August, the August bill, separately, if the agreement had not lapsed, as compared to doing a catch-up payment.
Can you clarify the question?
Sure. I'm just wondering...
Maybe. Okay. Is it which approach is least costly?
I suppose so, yeah.
And so we're currently working with Tyler on that because, again, you know, this is a function of computer programs. It was relatively easy to turn off the line item related to the sanitation district in the August billing cycle. But to turn it back on and to double it for the two... to incorporate the two billing cycles into this next bill versus taking the sanitation district line item and just doubling it, or adding a new line item that shows that, you know, here's the August, the July through September billing cycle, and then have a different item that shows the May through July billing cycle. Those are, in, you know, very brief summary, the different options that we're right now pursuing with Tyler. And I honestly don't know which one is going to be the least expensive, but, you know, our thought was, again, we're going to be billing for two different billing cycles, even though one billing cycle is late, or but we'd still be billing for two different billing cycles, and then pursue whatever the least costly alternative for the incidental costs, and that's how you know, I worked with legal counsel in order to try to develop this third try at an agreement.
My gut is that we can't just double the item, because for the variety of reasons that we've talked about already, but it's also not transparent because it's not this billing cycle.
Yeah, and that's right. I think that even if it's on a combined bill, we still need to show both billing cycles on that particular statement. So those are the options right now that we're working with. I think the added value to this agreement, again, is to we would have a good step forward for both of the agencies moving forward as well. So my recommendation is to, you know, adopt the agreement that I worked on developing with legal counsel, and then tender it to the sanitation district, and then it ultimately becomes an action item for their board to decide whether to approve or not. And it would be my hope that they would approve it so that we can move forward. Separately, after the last sanitation district meeting, President Lucy also discussed me about dialogues with the other finance directors. Mr. Sweet called me. However, the meeting that was scheduled for Thursday was too tight a timing, and I wasn't able to attend that. I did have some follow-up discussions with Debbie Malicote, with Arroyo Grande, and those seemed to be generally positive as well. I had to meet with the other finance directors as well. My hope is that, you know, this particular item we can finally resolve. It will still take subsequent action of the Sanitation District Board. And then I'm willing to, you know, meet with the finance directors in order to see how should this move forward in the future. And with that, I think we have public comment and then final board discussion and action.
Yeah, I got a couple comments I'm going to make on this. First of all, you know, I'm concerned about the history repeating itself. And there's no language in here that says that we're not going to pull your invoices again when you bill for services. And that was pulled three times from the warrant pack at the sanitation district. And so I, of course, you know, if Oceano didn't pay our bills, you know, it would be screamed, you know, from the rooftops. And we would immediately be villainized in the newspaper. So I need some language on that. I also need to have my name spelt right. It's, like, really kind of important to me at this point. You know, getting older, I want it done right. But the language as to how do we prevent this from happening in the future?
Well, we do have that, I believe, addressed in the payment provision that we requires payment in advance of billing on the 15th of the month for each month prior to the bill going out. There's also a provision in the agreement upon termination that the whatever the value of services already provided would still be due and payable now I think about that even that provision is probably built along with suspenders, considering that this is different than the prior arrangement where it was two payments over the course of a year of $11,000 apiece. This is
thank you once again for writing this again. I do appreciate it. That's all I have then. So let's take some public comment so everybody's opinions are heard and ideas, and hopefully we can move forward on this. Mr. Hill.
Thank you, President Lucy, honorable members of the board and staff. I think Mr. Sweet accurately characterized what our board understanding was when this was brought by the sanitation district staff, and I believe there's probably been a misunderstanding that I agree with Director Guerrero that this was not the fault of Mr. Sweet, but I don't believe that this agreement that's proposed is what was considered by the Sanitation District Board. Some of the things that have been mentioned this evening in your meeting, that we need to watch our money, I certainly agree with that.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, excuse me, Mr. Hill, Ms. Lucy. I think that this is an issue, although I don't represent the Sanitation District, just the Oceano Community Services District. I believe that if you have this discussion in this manner, it could be considered a quorum of the Sanitation District Board having a discussion of this this matter outside of regularly posted Sanitation District meeting.
Okay, so how...
With due respect, this is a publicly noticed meeting, and this is an item that is on the agenda of the meeting.
Okay, hold on. So do you have an answer on how we can get the information and not violate the law?
I think that the safest route, and again, I don't represent the sanitation district. This is a sanitation district issue, and sanitation district does have legal counsel. I'm saying that I am making the Mr. Hill and the board members that are on both, our board members who are on both, that this has a this is a quorum of that particular body, and I think that it is probably most appropriate that Mr. Hill is not having this discussion with members of the entire board. This is not noticed as a sanitation.
And pass the gavel to Karen. Matt?
Wait.
I'm trying to get the information.
The problem is we've already gone through it. I've made comments. You know, maybe the solution here is that if Mr. Hill wants to make comments, he goes ahead and does that at his own risk.
I understand that, and that's why I wanted to be clear to Mr. Hill and to you that Sanitation District does have legal counsel. However, I think that...
Well, as just one person, right, I'm going to recuse myself. I'm going to hand the gavel to the Vice President, right, and I'll be outside. You know, if Mr. Hill wants to continue to testify, that is entirely up to you. You know, and Mr. Guerrero, you are entirely entitled to do what you want to do.
I will decline to recuse myself, and I'll stay.
Okay. Does that
I think you're... Okay.
I'm not going to go through motions that aren't worth it or not right. I got bit by a spider today, so... you know, and the spider won. And so... You know, but I want the information to get out there. So will that help you in your testimony?
Perhaps.
It won't help the situation, though.
It won't help the situation.
So he might as well just go ahead and talk.
I can't. I am trying to point out that it's... that notice the issue, and I'm concerned about it. So, but...
Well, clearly, my commentary is disconcerting to your legal counsel. So, I would I'll respectfully withdraw my comment at this time, and I'll wait until the properly noticed meeting of the Sanitation District Board, which will be Wednesday. I would like to thank Mr. Ogren for his willingness to meet with the various finance directors. I think that's a positive step.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Hill.
And would Mr. Brown be in the same situation?
I, however, will not yield as Mr. Hill did, because as a public citizen, even if I step down from an item as a board member, I don't lose my right to speak as a member of the public. And I've had this issue happen before. I've talked to legal counsel before. So respectful of your opinion, whatever it may be, this is a publicly noticed meeting. It's not a Brown Act violation. So you're just respectfully, you're wrong. So I will speak. And what you do with that is your business. Mr. Hill was going to say, and I agree with him, that this was not the agreement. Mr. Guerrero said, this comes about because of the lack of written agreements prior to this point. There's been collection by all parties, not just Oceano, by Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, without written agreement. That's wrong by all parties, Arroyo Grande included. We're here to rectify that situation. But we also want what's fair. So it's not a manufactured situation. This is a serious issue. Okay, people? We're not at war with Oceano. This is a mistake by all parties, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano, and it needs to be rectified. And I, for one... being a member of the City Council and being a member of the Sand District, will not be recommending this agreement because it is not what is in the best interest of all parties. And I very much am offended by your legal counsel's attempt to...
Right here.
I'm looking at you. to squelch public comment when he's not the attorney for the Sand District. It's not his place.
But he's the attorney for this board.
I understand.
So he directs us.
I understand. He doesn't direct public comment.
You know, that was a courtesy.
He does not direct public comment.
I'm not getting married.
So all I'm trying to say to you is think long and hard if you guys want to get this issue resolved. Now, you both have talked about, I've heard Mr. Guerrero talk about putting it on the tax rolls. I've heard Ms. Lucy talk about having it on the tax rolls. I've heard Ms. White speak against it, saying there's some serious issues with it. And I agree that there are some things we need to work out. The fact of the matter is, the financial people for all three districts have had the chance on multiple occasions to get together, and that has not happened. And Mr. Ogren can tell you that he has had conflict after conflict. But if you look at the scheduled meetings, it can't be that hard to get together. So there's some shenanigans going on here. And you should think long and hard about what's going on.
So, Mr. Brown, if you have contracts that Arroyo Grande has drawn up with this issue, please send them over.
That's not the point.
Greatly appreciate
what happened
it.
At the last meeting and before that was that all three members, financial members, were supposed to get together. And lo and behold, guess what happens? Mr. Ogren is not available. He's not available. He's not available. This didn't just happen once, folks. Don't take my word for it.
No, I understand. It happened three times.
I agree with you. And so that should say something about how this process is going.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
This is very dysfunctional.
Ms. Welsh.
I will try to stay calmer about this. I read where the sanitation district desires again to retain OCSD. I've been to all the meetings for the Sand District. I don't remember us wanting to again deal with OSCD. OCSD. Another area I have a problem with, Mr. Ogram sends a letter that was pretty nasty and direct, I'll put it that way, and goes very short term. We need it now, we need it now, we need it now. But in here, you guys want 60 days to get out of a contract. How about 30 days like we were given when you guys decided not to do the billing? Fair is fair. And then, you know, time is of the essence. Yeah, time's been of the essence for quite a while. But again, you know, here's this deadline. Do it now or else. Let's get past the threats, please. At the last Sand District meeting, it was decided that all financial directors from all three agencies would get together and try to work something out. That hasn't happened yet. That's what was supposed to come back to the Sand District. You know, we discuss these things at the Sand District, and with all due respect, Mr. Guerrero, you show up sometimes, and it seems like it's a tag team, and then Miss Lucy shows up. Some consistency would be really nice as we work through this issue, but let's work together and get through it. And what you decide as a board member when you're up there representing the Sand District, let's hold with it. This isn't what was decided. This is wrong, and I don't appreciate it.
So, just so I got the minutes right, that strong language, she didn't like the strong language. Was that your main issue, Ms. Welch?
Excuse me.
Was your issue here, just so I have my minutes right, the strong language that Mr. Ogren sent in a memo? Okay.
It's very disappointing to sit through the Sand District meeting and think that we were actually getting somewhere and then come here tonight and read this proposed agreement. I don't care who it was drawn up by. This is not an accurate reflection of what the board agreed to last week. Time and time I've heard President Lucy say, well, we just don't know, throwing up her hands in the air. We don't know what the Sand District wants. We're the only ones who have provided an agreement. You are correct. But the Sand District is not going to agree to being bullied to paying $22,000 a year to Oceano to do something not even equitable to what Arroyo Grande does for 12. I just can't even understand how someone cannot see the unfairness in that. You have less residents. Until now, you didn't collect for hookups. Now you've graciously agreed to add that. But everyone else in Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach have been collecting for hookups for years. Arroyo Grande has been charging the Sanitation District $12,000 to collect their Sanitation District fees. Grover Beach is doing $22,000. Oceano, with less than half the residents, is also doing $22,000. Now, you explain to us how that's fair to the ratepayers of the Sanitation District that Oceano charges four or five or six times more per billing than Arroyo Grande. This is like someone offering to take you to the airport because they're going anyway, and Arroyo Grande says, pay me a few dollars for gas and you can ride along. Grover Beach says, possible is that you guys are throwing everything at this invoice. I see you shaking your head, and body language was part of the agreement tonight, Mrs. Angelo. In order to be, and Ms. Lucy, I know it's hard to keep it together. In order to be fair, let's put this on the tax rolls. Director Guerrero, as stated before, has agreed to that. Director Lucy has also agreed to that. And in order to be really fair, put Arroyo Grande on there as well. Arroyo Grande charges approximately $2 per year for billing the residents. That's what it would be on the tax rolls. It would save the residents of Oceano money.
But Ms. Spencer, do you realize that we don't make that decision? The sanitation body does. We don't make that
right,
decision.
Right, but your manager hasn't even showed up to the meetings to get to a consensus
no,
yet.
No, but I'm saying for you to say to us, put it on the tax rolls, we don't make those decisions.
Right, they were not comfortable making that decision.
We've tried to move on.
We've tried to move on.
So you can only blame us for so much.
I'm only blaming
okay?
you for being unfair,
so
that's all. And it's
bullying.
Not the residents. It's not the residents. It's coming from inside this room.
Yeah,
has nothing to do with the residents. This is not against Arroyo Grande residents or Grover Beach residents, against Oceano residents. It's been interpreted as that, misinterpreted as that. But that's not the case at all. We're asking, bill at an equitable rate. If you can explain to me how $22,000 is justified when Arroyo Grande, with way more residents and hookups and invoices to send out, bills 12, then I would be more than happy to listen to that discussion all day long. But it can't be justified. There's no way. So let's make it fair and move on.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer.
Thank you.
Any other people want to speak to public comment? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Ms. Rogan.
Can I make one comment? Obviously, when the sanitation district sends over a proposal
to Director Guerrero, because a couple of my comments were is that a few of the speakers portray the Sanitation District's board action as if your board is obligated to follow it, and Director Guerrero is accurate. We didn't even have the benefit of a legal agreement to review. But more importantly, I do want to talk a little bit about the tone about Oceano and how this all evolved. Because there seems to be some sort of sentiment portrayed that the $22,000 per year is something that just new came up. And there has been some expressions as if the $22,000 a year has been something that I have created, and even some expressions that I've created that as a way of covering some of my salary. And none of that's true, because the record is clear that the $22,000 a year was established a few years ago. It was established prior to me taking a job with Oceano, and it was only in the recent months that $22,000 became controversial, and it became controversial because the sanitation district pulled it from their agenda, didn't want to pay,
And what legal counsel and I made sure to do is to simply get it on your agenda as quickly as possible so that your board could review the situation, deliver it, and take appropriate action. But the $22,000 a year was established, you know, far prior to me coming on board, and legal counsel and I have simply been addressing the issue of how do we ensure that that continues to be collected. And then we also located a health and safety code that says that these relationships between agencies are supposed to be in written agreement. So we tendered that first written agreement. But the $22,000 has been a previously established amount. Some of the comment regarding, well, Clue might only bill $12,000 a year, logic could tell us that maybe a Rio Grande isn't fully charging for the value of their services. But the logic does not hold absolute that Oceano is charging too much just because a Rio Grande isn't charging a greater sum than they're charging right now. Those are statements. Those are statements of sentiment, but they're not statements that are based on fact. The fact is that the $22,000 a year was established a few years ago, prior to current legal counsel, prior to the existing general manager, and that if anything, we've been consuming $1,000 to about $29,000. When your board considered that action item during your budget hearings, you didn't question it. You approved it, and you moved forward because, the reasonable evaluation of what does it cost dispatch services didn't really give a reason to contest what Grover Beach. But we really haven't seen anything from the sanitation district regarding that $22,000, why it should be contested. And then the final begging of a question that it has is, what was the end that they had in mind? Was it that they wanted to get it from $22,000 down to $20,000? Do they want to get it from $22,000 down to $19,500 under such short order? And none of that was very clear. So it just simply evolved as an issue where we weren't getting paid for services that we were rendering, and legal counsel and I brought it onto the board, but the $22,000 was an amount that had been previously established. And subsequently, we provided cost analysis to show that it was reasonable. And Mr. Sweet, is Oceano doing something now simply isn't true.
I think it's grossly inaccurate to claim that it's coming from this board and that this board is creating this sentiment. We didn't write any articles claiming that you were extorting people
right,
or making unreasonable demands. We didn't come to try to upset the board and either anger or bully the board into doing something. This board is going to make a reasonable, well-rationed decision. And again, notes that the staff and legal at the sanitation district recommended doing something other than what the sanitation district board did. And so those comments, I think, they're inaccurate and not well received. So, Mr. Sweet.
Thank you for allowing me to speak again. I want to just kind of bring it back to the core of the issue. We're not arguing about the amount at this point. We're agreeing to the 36-66 billing period. And so that's, regardless of people saying things, I think the position of the board is we've agreed to that amount. I think the only item that's really under discussion is, do we pay for the August billing? I'm sorry for whatever I've added to that. I think those are the critical issues that are actually, those are the deal points that are there. So I'm sorry for how the discussion has deteriorated, but I think those are the deal points that we have. So.
Well, I don't think you're responsible for the deterioration, but I do agree with Mr. Sweet's points that the issue really comes down to, do we bill separately for August? Is it a separate line item? Is it a separate mailing?
Karen? One other question. Do we have any idea what our legal costs so far are in regard to this single item? I would like to know, have some kind of an idea before I go forward.
A guesstimate.
Yeah.
I mean, since June.
Right, and I would say a couple thousand dollars easy, maybe, as you know.
Yeah, looking at
$2,000, $2,500, somewhere like that, would not surprise me if I went back and looked at the invoices.
Because my feeling looking to the taxpayers' money is if we again send this and we are again rejected, we're just throwing good money after bad. And I don't know whether I am supportive of this. So, I mean, that's just my question.
Jen, do you have something you want to offer to this?
Well, actually, I'm sorry, Mr. Sweet, if you don't mind. I just wanted to clarify because I may have misheard you. But you were saying that we are then in agreement about how the...
We didn't receive a service in August that we wouldn't pay for that, and that we would pay the incidental costs associated with putting it as a dual billing on the October billing. That's what our proposal was, and that's essentially, I think, where the deal points are. I don't think we're at a point where we're arguing over the $36.66 a month or any of that. So.
All right. My other question
Hang
is...
Hang on a second. Can Pavel go...
down there.
Yeah. He's distracting.
Is it an emergency?
Okay.
My other question was just...
...rural issue, mm-hmm. and the soonest that could take place would be for billing periods starting in July of next year. Okay. So I'm assuming, I don't know that, mm-hmm. But I'm assuming the board, my board, will reconsider that at some future date.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't have any more questions for you. Thank you.
The one thing I have a concern with is the hardship on the families on putting two of these payments together. That's, you know, I think it would be easier.
$30, $15. Isn't the basic pay $14?
$30 per household.
Is it 30?
$29.47, I think.
I think it's $14.96 a month, so 2 months are essentially.
Yeah, so it would be 4 months, yeah.
Right. But once again, I think by the time that you could actually do a separate billing, you're going to be very close to the dates of your October billing cycle.
So we'd have
to. So I think it's going to be kind of, the fiscal impact's going to be very close to the same, and I believe there's going to be some confusion. Of course, that's just my feeling, and people can certainly see that different ways.
Well, I'd like to hear from Celia, because Celia works the front counter. She works with the clients one-on-one. She pretty much knows the fiscal impacts of a lot of the households in the area. And so, and you do the billing with Tyler. So is there anything you have to add to this? Do you have areas of concern or areas you think where it'll work? Or
not at this time. I mean, it might be a little hard for some of the ratepayers because it is going to be almost $60. Mm-hmm. Now that this August billing went out, as they come to the counter, they'll ask what's going on. We kind of give them a little update, and we tell them we might put it on the next one. A lot of them don't like it because as it is, it's really hard for them to pay their bill. Mm-hmm. So that is going to be hard on the ratepayers.
It is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Sonia. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
It's okay.
You know, just...
You're the expert, though. You're the expert, so...
Okay.
So I do have another comment, if that's
please.
Okay. So I'm just thinking about the process onto the bill. That's what the cost is. And OCSD is asking for the August billing cost of $3,666 plus the incidentals. And I'm wondering if maybe we can make it somewhere in the middle, since we are also taking on the extra work of the connection fees and possibly making it this straight $3,666, if that was amenable to the board. That would be my suggestion. I feel like it is a compromise for both of us. It is a little bit more than what the Sand District was requesting from us, and we can look still at putting the two bills together. I have another thought on that about whether or not we can extend the due date or grace period on that. I'm not sure if that's an option, but just because it is And maybe that will mess us up. I don't know. But that maybe.
Do you want to do research on that, bring it back? Or?
Well, I don't know. That might be something that Mr. Ogun could tell me.
So first off, I'm going to try to catch up on the conversation. I apologize. I had a note that my son had gone to the emergency room without an everything's okay note to go along with it. But thankfully, it's an everything's going to be okay
good.
Note.
Oh, good.
Thank
God.
Yeah. So again, so if
not charging the incidentals for the billing.
Yeah, I think that's. Yeah,
oh,
that's
I'm
what
sorry.
I
Then yes. That's what I was saying. But then I was also wondering, because I know that putting the two bills together is a concern, even though doing two separate billings may end up being at the same time anyway. I'm curious if there's the possibility of an extended grace period for a payment.
Certainly it is within your board's discretion to provide an extended grace period.
All right.
You know, with respect to district, amend the agreement or take no action, you know, whatsoever. Those are the three options that are in front of you.
Do you have anything you want to add, Matt?
No.
Karen?
I don't think we can not charge what's on the billing service agreement, because I think then we can look at ourselves the other way and say, hey, we're giving away our services, and I don't think our taxpayers want that, and I don't believe we can do that. I mean, this is what was set up. We've spent a lot of extra money, not counting a little bit of grief that I personally feel, that I don't feel that our district was treated particularly nicely. Mm-hmm. And I'll support this agreement. I don't think I'll support any amendments. And I'm not 100% sure in my mind I even want to send this forward.
So are you thinking, Karen, that maybe you just tell the sanitation district we made you an offer, it was reasonable, you didn't accept it? Good luck.
Well, I mean, I suspect that this goes to the, having attended the sanitation board meetings as a member of the public, I just kind of feel like this is not going to be accepted there. I mean, I just feel really sad.
Well, you know, that may or may not be true, but I often encourage elected bodies to not try to predict what other governing bodies are going to do.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah, make the decisions that you do based on the best information you have and acting in the best interests of the community that you represent.
Okay.
Lori, do you have any comments you'd like to add to this?
Yeah, kind of.
Please.
I have a question. I know Jim was sitting on our board at one time, and I think this was the same cost involved before the monies that was received from the sanitation district. Do you remember?
The $22,000 a year has been about 3 years.
Okay.
So
2013.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it was 2013, but prior to that, the billings for Grover and Oceano and Oroy Grande were the same amounts.
Right.
They've been that historically for longer than I know when. They've been the same amounts.
Being yourself, it's a big world out there.
That, you know, the costs associated with legal counsel and the other efforts that we've had prior to the execution of any agreement, you know, are not going to be charged. So those are costs that Oceano, you know, those are sunk costs of Oceano, and that, you know, there are costs no matter what. So it's not as if the agreement that's in front of you is going to recover all of the costs that we've incurred in working on this issue.
Okay. Jen?
Well, I want to make a motion, so.
Pardon?
She's going to make a motion.
I want to make a motion.
Oh, okay.
You can do with it what you will.
Then you go to town.
So I need to think, but that we extend the grace period. The due date for the bill as well.
The grace period is it
normally?
I don't know if I can do that.
I need an answer from Jen first, please. The grace period on which, what do you...
Assuming that it is one bill with both billing cycles on one bill.
Okay.
I actually think that maybe I will remove that from my motion because I think it should undergo some more discussion.
Yeah, okay, if I might just for clarification.
Complicates the situation?
I think it complicates the motion,
yes.
So and we haven't discussed it at all.
Okay, go ahead.
Madam President, the issue of the billing dates and any changes in, you know, due dates and stuff like that, that's not on the agenda today.
Okay, good.
So my recommendation on your motion is, from what I heard, and I also heard you say that you're going to remove that portion, is that that you recommend approval of the agreement as amended back on a subsequent agenda to address that particular issue, and of course would be glad to do so, but that's not an agendized component of the item today.
Thank you. For
so my belief is that there's a motion on the table to approve the agreement as amended to eliminate the incidental charges that are identified in the agreement.
Right. So I'll need a second on that, and then I'm going to take more board comment. So I need a second on Jennifer's motion.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
Without a second, it will.
For lack of a second, it fails. Sorry, bud. Okay. So anybody else want to try making a motion to make things, people?
Direct staff to sign this agreement, or this offer, I should say, to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District.
Second.
Okay. Now I'm going to, since it's been seconded, I'm going to open it back up for discussion.
Okay.
Okay. I'm actually going to vote against this. Oceano has stayed in providing this service strictly for the residents. A couple people have alluded to the fact that we're so fiscally strapped that we have not been fair to the ratepayers, which I find quite offensive. I also find it offensive that people would actually go to a newspaper and write about the towns and people. And so this is a hardship to the ratepayers. It was a hardship when Oceano was paying for the billing at $4,900 a year. It's not a hardship for the amount that's been paid for 3 years. It was insulting to have our invoice pulled from the sanitation district's agenda 3 times, which put Oceano in a hardship, and there was no concern then. So on that note, I'm not sure that these whereases can be upheld, and the anger from people speaking at the mic regarding this attempt at working with this entity has failed. So I'm not going to be able to support this.
Am I understanding correctly that this agreement does not actually specify that we would be billing the way that we would be billing? Is that true? Whether or not it's one or two separate bills?
That's correct. It's not specific to that. It does address that we will be covering both billing cycles.
Right.
And essentially, you know, by including our responsibility to itemize the incidental expenses, that compels us to do the least expensive approach. Because if we were to do something that was more expensive than whatever the least costly option is, then the sanitation district would have a right to say we don't need to pay for those additional charges. So the issue of itemizing the incidental compels us to pursue the least costly alternative.
Okay, thank you.
Call for a vote.
Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close it for discussion. Let's do a roll call vote. Matt, can I ask you to restate your motion?
My motion was to approve staff recommendation regarding this billing services agreement.
Okay, seconded by Jennifer.
No,
it was Lori.
No,
by Lori.
Lori, sorry. So you want to do a roll call?
Sure. Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
No.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Lucy?
No. 3-2, it passes.
Madam President, at this time we would need a motion to extend the meeting. I would estimate at this point in time that we'll probably be here until about 10:30. We have one one hearing item to cover. We have closed session, which will be relatively brief.
Let's let the audience clear out, and then we can make the motion. And
this is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
I'm sorry, I was confused.
I made the motion.
Oh, you entertained it, I thought. Sorry.
I made the motion to extend it till 10:30. Karen seconded it.
All right.
Very well.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Let's move.
Close session?
No.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
No.
Budget?
Budget adoption.
Budget.
Hearing item.
I make a motion, we approve it. Didn't work.
I would thank the League of Women Voters for being here tonight. You are in the right place to have this discussion.
Good evening, President Lucy, members of the board. I'm Pavel Ogren, your general manager. still your general manager. The presentation I'm going to provide is contained in the staff report and the many, many attachments that are included there. But I thought that a little bit of a presentation to walk through this and have some discussion would be good. Hitting papers, and it established the 2015-16 revenues and expenditures. You did that already. And you also adopted the resolution on appropriation limitations. That's called the GAN initiative. Today is only for very limited purposes, which is to review the fund balance available from last fiscal year and how to determine those FBA allocations to reserves. And this is different than what we did last year, because last year, right after I had gotten hired, the formalities of budget approval and the formalities of the appropriation limitations hadn't been adopted. So we had to do that as part of the final action. But you already did all that work as part of the preliminary budget, and so today it's simply fund balance available. So what is fund balance available? Those are the funds that were unspent from the 2014-15 budgeted expenditures, essentially savings, and it's unanticipated revenues that exceeded the 2014-15 budgeted revenues. So it's the degree to which your fund balance available is, did we do better? How much better did we do than the budget from last year? Now, you could have a negative fund balance available if our final operating results were worse than the budget, but I've actually never seen that happen, because if an entity is running over budget, you usually do budget adjustments. So anyways, it's your savings on expenditures, and it's any excess revenues that you get. Well, how much? And for the district, it was $427,483 for all funds combined. And we're about a $4 million operating entity, so that's about a 10% positive budget variance. And a little bit of contrast to the public comment earlier today, it seems like a positive $427,000 from last year is an indication that we did a very good job in managing our budgets last fiscal year. Granted, tight budgets, everybody knows that situation, but that's a big positive number, and I think your board should feel very good about that.
Can we clap?
You can, but it resulted from $77,316 in unanticipated revenues, most of those being from the garbage company, and $349,960 in unspent budget. Now, much of that was for reasons that I'll explain, but we cannot expect that type of savings to occur year in and year out, and I'll get into that. So those are the bottom line numbers, good results, and so what are we going to do then? Well, what is FBA good for? The answer, it's best used for one-time purposes, and why? Because it's not a reoccurring predictable stream of funding. We would always hope to have some FBA every year, and then whatever we had in the savings, it's at this point in time that your board would say, how would we want to allocate that back into our savings account and into our reserves? But it's, since it's not a predictable stream of continuous funding, we can't really use it to fund some new and ongoing type of a program. But there are other considerations. So sometimes we do have some extra circumstances. One of the items that we identified in the budget discussions is that the salary projections in the budgets were based on existing salaries. We're in MOU discussions with SEIU, so we know that we're going to have some sort of an impact on the current year's budget once the MOU gets adopted. And so those would be what I consider to be other characteristics. Now, how does the FBA break out by fund? Well, our general fund, administration, fire and lighting, positive $84,726, and that's, as I'll explain, that's going to be good because that's going to help us fund some of the things for the fire department that we know we need to fund. The water fund had a positive variance of $142,072, but as I'll explain, it's only about $25,000 of that was really the result of good management of the budget. Sewer fund, positive $55,549, predominantly unanticipated revenues from the garbage company. I'm sorry, sewer fund is $55,549. That's a number of variety of items. Garbage fund of $64,832 was predominantly from unanticipated revenues from the garbage company. And then the sheriff building and the facilities fund, I call it the same because last year it's the sheriff's building, and this year with the funding changes, the fund description changes your board. It's now called the facilities fund. But that's a positive $80,304, predominantly because we did not transfer revenues from the sheriff building to water and sewer. Now jumping into some of that details then on the fund-by-fund evaluation. So for the general fund, the $71,000 in unanticipated revenues was predominantly a result of additional tax revenues. And that's a relatively good sign because in the current year, we know that we barely balanced the general fund and we're barely able to fund the fire department, and that's based on the auditor controller's current estimates of property taxes. I would expect that their estimates for the current year are also a little bit under, just like they were last year. So that means that the current year's budget for property taxes were, you know, we have a high degree of confidence that those monies are going to come in, and I would expect actual to be in slightly higher. Unspent budgeted expenditures were only $13,297, not a big variance because, again, fire, we know what the billing is going to be. Lighting costs were a little bit higher, but they're not significant. But the other thing to recognize there is that $13,000 does not account for the savings on administrative cost allocation. So we also, on top of that, had $31,606 of savings on administrative cost allocations. And the reason why that doesn't get counted in the $13,297 is because we just reduced the billings to water and sewer and the other funds by $31,606. So it just ends up washing out, a technical accounting term there, washing. But the point is, we had $31,606 in administrative cost allocation savings as well. Those numbers end up showing in cost savings in water and fire and the other funds. So with a total FBA of $84,000, my three recommendations that I've outlined is, one is $2,606 needs to go in the restricted reserve for public facilities. That's funding provided by the county. And your board really has no discretion on that because that's a legal requirement. Those public facility fees are restricted monies. It has to go into the reserve for public facilities. then the two numbers where you have the discretion is designated reserve for contingencies of $12,000 and designated reserve for capital outlay of $70,000. And I guess, you know, what I'm basically doing here is my judgment is we're probably going to need contingencies of $12,000 in the current year, and therefore the remainder that your board has been discussing, and so therefore I recommend that that $70,000 be designated to help fund those items, which we would come back to your board at a later date to, you know, talk about specific recommendations. On the emergency generator itself, the challenge there has been we've been looking at, so far, pricing a larger generator, which will also kick on well number 8, and what we'll be coming back to your board with is a smaller option that would be more affordable just for the buildings themselves, for fire, the admin, and the sheriff, because well 8 adds a lot of costs, and we think we might have other options in order to address well number 8. General fund wrap-up, then, is that in the last year's budget was adopted with a deficit of about $33,000. Actual results were a surplus of about $52,000, an amount of $82,066. It's not the 84 because the 2066 or whatever it was for the public facility fees is actually going to get moved over to the public facilities fund. Oh, and there, that's what I say. How about that? So moving through water, unanticipated revenues, we had a shortfall of $19,575. However, that would have been a positive number if we had transferred the sheriff revenues. So that shortfall doesn't concern me. And we had unspent budgeted expenditures of $161,000. And this one's probably the most important number to think about. We had state water savings of about $80,000. In 15-16, our state water costs went up a bunch, so we're not going to see that same amount of savings again. The deferral of interfund debt of $55,870, we're still going to have to pay for that, you know, figure out what we're going to do about interfund debt. And then the savings from other over and unders of $25,000 and change, that's the real number that during the budget updates that we were having with your board and with the finance committee, and I was saying we really need to be able to manage professional services in order to come in under budget, that's really what the $25,000 is. In terms of deferral of interfund debt, we talked about the need to be able to figure out how is the sheriff's building originally structured, so that's on our to-do list. How is that funding done to come back with a long-term repayment schedule for your board? So I think that that deferral of the interfund debt continues to be a good notion. What it does is it provides then the recommendations, contingencies of $22,000, and then $122,000 in capital outlay improvements. Essentially, what we've been doing by deferring some of the interfund debt is this has the effect of helping us with our reserves for capital outlay. I think that's a higher priority right now, especially because we know that the county is going to be replacing Air Park Drive Bridge, mm-hmm. and they're also doing work in Highway 1, and we don't know what our price tag is going to be associated with those projects yet. So making sure we have adequate or starting to build up capital outlay reserves, I think, is appropriate at this time. I have a special note there. I mentioned it earlier in the meeting that the 2014 water delivery determinations is scheduled for the Board of Supervisors in September 22nd. So water fund wrap-up. The budget was adopted with a deficit of over $250,000. Actual results realized a deficit of about $116,000. So we did better significantly than what the budget had. The 2015-16 preliminary budget, it's adopted as balanced. We do have additional revenues that are coming in because of the April 2015 rate increase, which helped cover the budget gap, in addition to promoting conservation. And then the net savings of $33,657 in deferral sheriff building revenues and interfund debt payment, that's not in next year's budget again. And again, we'll have to come back. But we were able to establish $50,000 budget for doing some CIP planning in the budget. So again, working, how much are, what are we going to do in addressing interfund debt, and in the meanwhile, making sure to set up some money to do our capital improvement efforts. And then the FBA recommendations will increase, you know, those reserves again. Sewer fund and the pace on this will pick up a little bit because again, general and water fund tend to be our more challenging. Unanticipated water revenues in the sewer fund resulted, again, from the deferring the transfers from the sheriff building. And then the $63,162 of revenues that we didn't collect because of the sand district billing issue. Now, on the savings side, we also don't owe the sand district $63,162, so that resulted in some unspent budgeted. Those two kind of wash each other. So on the expenditure side, you know, the substances, we had maintenance savings of over $47,000, professional services savings of over $27,000, savings from other accounts, overs and unders, of about $22,000. And that, to me, is a general indication of the fact that our sewer fund is the healthiest of our different funds. We've had good budgeting. Recommendations, again, some for contingencies, but predominantly for capital outlay, sewer line repairs and replacements related to pertinence. The county is also going to be doing an overlay paving project. We're obligated for raising the manholes and the valve boxes and stuff, and this will help pay for that. Sewer fund wrap-up was adopted with a deficit in the amount of $8,503. It ended with a surplus in $48,000. Preliminary budget is balances with the use of $50,000 from reserves for CIP planning. And Director Blackburn had a question for me earlier, and I think that answers that particular question. And again, the recommendations are to put most of it into the CIP reserves with some into the contingencies. Garbage fund, positive revenues of $56,000. Unspent expenditures of $8,000. That $56,000 again is because South County Sanitary caught up on some franchise fee revenues that they owed us. The recommendations here is to put a lesser amount in capital outlay because we don't really have a lot of capital outlay requirements, and to put a bigger amount in contingencies just in case. One of the things that could be used for in the contingencies is in case we do a community cleanup or decide we really want to, you know, do a lot of work on the garbage side of stuff. But I don't really have a specific issue that I think is going to require the use of that level of contingencies. We also have a different correspondence on that sand district rate increase, but that's a future agenda item. On the sheriff building, unanticipated revenues is $74,000 because the way that those transfers are shown in the budget is if we transfer the revenue to water and fund, then it reduces the revenues to the sheriff's building. We didn't do the transfer, so therefore the sheriff's building had more revenues, and that sits in the fund until your board decides what you're going to do with that. Relatively modest savings on the expenditures. So again, recommendations. Some going into reserves for capital outlay. That I wanted to move up a little bit because we had to replace the air conditioner on the sheriff's building. And if the other ones are getting old, I thought, you know, putting some money aside for some capital outlay generator and fixing the equipment. Generator, again, because some of the generator costs would be allocable to the sheriff's building. Summary of the FBA recommendations, this is all of them together, then the 427, increasing CIP by 297,000 reserves, increasing the designated reserve for contingencies by 127, and it counts the reserve for public facilities fees as non-discretionary at 2,660. Alternatively, so that's a staff recommendation. Alternatively, if you were inclined to address through reserves the interfund debt payments that were the interfund revenues that were deferred and the interfund debt payments that were reserved, then you could set up a designated reserve for interfund payments and debt, and that would be reflective of, you know, the revenues that were not transferred from sheriff and then the net amount of interfund transfers that did not happen in water. So that would be the alternative recommendation in addressing those interfund payments and debt. I would still inclined to go with this recommendation simply because how we want to structure the long-term debt repayments and interfund issues is something that I think goes after we do the analysis on what happened there and also in determining what do we want to do about the long-term strategies for the district. One of the things when we do get to that long-term strategies I'll note is that in even in the November 13th, 2013 staff report, that addressed some of these issues, it clearly stated that you don't have to pay back that general fund money. That's discretionary. And I think that discretionary decision to your board is important when you look at what do you want to do
for the long-term plan and everything. So that's why I would still sort of go with the FBA recommendations that I outlined in the staff report, but the optional ones aren't really that much different. And I think either one works well. And with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
So just take this as FYI and vote on it next meeting, or do we vote on it this meeting?
Yeah, your action is required because we have to have the final action before September 1st.
I just want to make sure that
it
didn't have to stay out there for 30 days and all that stuff. Okay.
Jen, how's it look to you?
I think that Mr. Ogren has done a great job in presenting all of this and getting it all the reserves designated. And I would support the recommendation that he has for the reserves in the staff report as well. I think that it is important to address those, but I like the interfund debt payments, but I think that we can assess that in the future with more discussion. So, but in general, I would agree.
I think it's the best budget I've ever seen.
It looks so
great. Thank you, Pava, once again.
It's not the most encouraging as far as we still have a deficit,
right,
and there's still, the generator, and there's things, but it's smart, it's well done, and it's an excellent tool for us to work with. So,
well thought out.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's. I feel like we've had a very productive year in terms of did a good job with the budget that we had going in.
Yeah.
You know, we've definitely helped to correct the course on some of the issues. And even some of the public comments, sentiments about, work that I've been doing, it's been the result of asking difficult questions. Like on the funding formula for the Five Cities Fire JPA, why hasn't that funding formula been followed? And that does, sometimes it does a couple different things. It starts people second-guessing what our intent is, right? You ask questions about what happened, and then they start speculating as to where we want to go with it. And, you try to tell people, no, don't do that type of speculation, but it's common for people to do that. But sometimes when you just, you're asking those kind of questions to get into that level of detail, it creates uncomfortable situations, and I understand that. But I hope the other agencies understand that that's all part of Oceano riding the ship and making sure we're going in the right direction and everything. And if that means we have to ask some difficult questions sometimes, we ask difficult questions. But I do think it's been a very good year. Obviously, shortly we need to address staffing issues.
Right.
But I think that we're going to have another good year.
Well, I think on behalf of myself, I hope for the whole board, we support you, Pavo, and thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
So can someone make a motion?
Public comment? Although
public comment.
Tony?
More comments. I'll let you talk as long as you want.
Well, Mr. Edwards will in for
Tony,
an extra 3.5 minutes.
Half minute. No.
Absolutely. Good evening, Board. Tony Martino. Pavo's given the field site free roam to manage the water system. He's never told us how to do it. Just gives us the guidelines, and I thank him for that. And in return, we're putting new meters in the ground. And registers are going in place. We're doing everything we can, and he's supported us 100%.
And part of that, and I asked Tony to talk to us about this at the next OCSD meeting in his board report when there's people here, but our water losses are not what we thought they were that are being projected.
They're not, and I would like to, and I will get with Pavo on that. And,
sure,
and
if you could
tell you with
bring us
what's
some
being sold, what's being produced, and the water losses are not as bad as what we thought. It's because the meters have gone into the ground.
Right.
They're actually
capturing,
measuring 100% of the water.
Right. But just don't take it personal when that kind of stuff comes out, because when people say saltwater intrusion, first have to peel me off the ceiling.
Yeah.
And I have spent 8 years fighting that rhetoric. I thought the county and I had come to an agreement to not call it that, but obviously, you're going to hear things like that that are going to trigger you. But you're doing a fabulous job.
No, we've got great guidance.
Yeah, you have a wonderful leader. It's amazing what leadership really does.
And everybody's working together. You've got field working inside the office.
Yeah.
Well, the empowerment of staff and the training, and it's really upped our game. Which, you know, I wanted to say, this budget, the partnership with Pismo Beach regarding their water reclamation and such, that I voted against, it turns out may be a very good thing as the sanitation district.
Too late, buddy.
No, it turns out as the sanitation district is jeopardizing its own ability to get revenues and therefore to get resources for water reclamation that, you know, we obviously want to protect those sources wherever they are. So yeah. I may stand corrected.
And I'll entertain a motion.
Well, I was going to say one little thing.
Oh, go ahead, Karen, and then Jen.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to point out they're kicking us, and we are the entity that is not pumping groundwater. Yeah, maybe.
It's always been that way.
You know, they can talk about saltwater intrusion, but which agency is the one that's actually doing their best to fight that?
Right.
It's not certain other communities that are pumping 100%.
Or 100 plus.
Okay, on that note, Jen?
I just wanted to thank staff all around for your hard work in cutting those costs. I really do appreciate it and the impact that it had on the budget. So thank you.
And I just want to follow up on the note, Saya. I just want to thank you and Tony and Casey for holding the fort down. You know, Pava was able to go on vacation and truly go on vacation and that's because of you, you know.
All right.
He didn't have to call in every hour. He didn't have to.
I should have mentioned in my general manager report that I did appoint Celia as the interim office manager.
Right.
So
she watched herself.
Yeah.
Did you watch yourself?
So thank you so much, and you know, great.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody. So let's have a motion.
Okay.
We have a motion, don't we?
Motion. Come on, you guys. This spider is taking over my body here.
I'll move to adopt the final 2015-2016 budget.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Karen seconded. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. It passes 5-0 unanimously. Thank you, sir. That's reflective of you.
And so we have two items left, closed session and item 13. And at this point in time, we might take item 13 real quick before closed session, so when we come out of closed session, we can
Do we have wrap any up. Written communication?
We do, and what I included was the proposal from William C. Statler, who is going to be doing the rate analysis on a proposed rate increase by South County Sanitary. And we're going to introduce that on your next agenda on the 9th. The public hearing has to be after the 45-day period under Prop 218. So we're going to be recommending that on October 28th. And Mr. Statler is working. That's at a cost.
And Mr. Statler will be here?
Not on the 9th, on the 28th.
He'll be here on the 28th?
Yeah, because on the 9th it's just setting the hearing date.
Has he ever been to Oceano?
He was here last year, presented to your board last year.
With Tom?
Correct. And he is being paid for by South County Sanitary.
Sanitary. Not Sanitation District, Sanitary.
So this is not a cost that we bear.
Yeah. He showed the love for us last year.
He was highly complimentary of your board last year.
Well,
Tom, Mr. Statler was the consultant. Tom Martin also brought a couple of other individuals with South County Sanitary who have assumed his duty now that Mr. Martin has retired.
This gentleman was supposed to take over Mr. Martin's position.
Yes. And Bruce Bassfield and Patrick Fenton, I believe, were the other two individuals, and I would expect them to be here on the 28th as well.
So we have no action we need tonight?
All right,
pardon me?
No action. No
report
action tonight.
Any late received written communications?
None for the agenda. I did put some items in your board slots that the CSAC, California CSDA, mm-hmm. mid-year legislative update.
Yes.
And one of particular interest is a bill being proposed by Alejo regarding something similar to redevelopment, but not the same, in order to help with funding improvements in areas that could potentially be beneficial to Oceano. So,
okay, well, let's make it revitalization a little bit better at this time.
So I'll be especially watching to see how that bill progresses.
Okay, so, and Mr. Minnery, can you announce what we're going to discuss in behind the
I board am. Board? Do you want to ask if there's any public comment beforehand?
Any public comment. So our mic is open to you.
All right.
Now it's closed.
Board adjourns to closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, Conference of Legal Counsel regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District. Item 12B, pursuant to Government Code 54957.6, Conference with Labor Negotiators, Agency Designated Representative is the General Manager. The Employee Organization is the Service Employees International Union 620.
Can we stand up? Question.
Oh, God.
Jeff, can you come in and answer?